Wendy, could you do the opening? I'm drained.
I gotta tell you, I was looking so forward to seeing you today. It's your birthday and all. I brought you a present.
Thank you for that. I don't know what it is, but I love it.
Oh, you won't thank me once you open it.
Is it clothes that won't fit?
No, it's a sweater.
Oh, yay.
I got it from Bill Cosby. He's not using it anymore.
Good.
I pull in the lot, and you're always here before me, and I pull in, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yes.
So I come in, and Kevin, the first thing I said to you, where's Bill? Is he okay? And you responded that, like...
He had, like, just sent me a text, and it was like, missed the show, car disaster. That sounds awful.
Okay, but we get car disaster, and we think, oh, my God, is he okay?
Right.
What's happened? Did you get in an accident?
Oh, no. I'm made of, like, a Teflon-like base. I'm fine.
Teflon? Silverstone?
Yeah, like, so I'm made of Silverstone. Stuff just bounces off of me with hardly a scratch. I'm fine.
What the heck happened?
Keep in mind, and you already know this, there's no one on the planet that knows less about cars than me. I just don't know anything about them. I know that from time to time you put gas in, and then when you hit there's like a pedal on the floor, and when you hit it, it makes your car go faster.
Other ones will break.
You can also stop by hitting the other pedal. That's all I know.
What else do you need to know, really?
You'd think, right?
You really don't, these new cars today.
So when I got in my car this morning, a day that started out just like any other day... There was a very pleasant tinging noise that warned me to the fact that one of my tires has less pressure than the others. You're supposed to keep your... Now, I know this. You're supposed to keep your tires inflated to 36 and then three letters after that. 36 something, something,
pounds
something.
Pounds per square inch, so PSI.
That's the one. PSI.
God, you are bad.
Which is a show with Mark Harmon. Not from the sports department. The other one, I think. Isn't he in PSI?
CSI.
He's in CSI.
Close enough.
You should have your tires either at PSI or CSI, depending on if you know Mark Harmon. So I got a very pleasant, this is the sound. I get in the car, I start it up, ding. And then on the message board, it shows me that one of the tires is just a couple pounds low. The others are at 36, this one's at 32.
And with the temperature fluctuation, that's very common right now.
I would think. So then I go, well, that won't be a problem. As soon as work is over, I'll fix that. That's something
I know how to do.
Well, I've put the 50 cents in and put the nozzle on the tire and fill. I've done that a bunch of times. I know how to do that. And that's the sound I hear from other people in the garage because I've been there for 20 minutes figuring out, well, what if I put it in? No, I got to put it in this way. First I unscrew that, then I put it in. So, all right. So a little while later, I erase that message. I don't
need
this anymore.
You can reset it.
Yeah, I just set it to my distance-o-meter. To show me how fast I'm going. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
So then, a little while later, another pleasant ding, and it shows me now it's at 28. And I go, well, that's not good at all, is it? So I pull over, I put air in, back to everyone's at 36, everyone's happy. Then I get on the Lakeshore Drive, and with every revolution of the tire, it's making a noise like I hit a squirrel or something. But I didn't. I mean, I looked at the tires, they were perfect, right? So then about a mile in, I feel a jolt
ka-dunk,
in the car.
Ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk.
Not a flat tire, though. I see something fly off the tire, and I still don't know what flew off the tire. Something gray.
The hubcap.
No, because that's still there. It was like a cylinder kind of thing. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is, but it flew off the tire. And then, as soon as that happened, the car was fine. The car was great. And I go, well, how about this Jeep? It fixes itself. Whatever's wrong with it, it just disposes of it. This is impeding your travel, so we, the people at Jeep, will just get rid of it for you. And I'm driving, it's great, right? And then, about 3 minutes later, again on Lakeshore Drive, an oxygen mask comes down, and I'm hearing this, whoop, whoop, whoop. It says abort mission on the board and stuff like that. I don't know what happened, but it's not good. So I'm between stops on Lakeshore Drive, and I go, I'm not a genius, obviously, but I know this is a problem. I got to get off. So I get off at Belmont, and then every minute that tire, it started at 36 because I filled it up, then it's 35, then it's 34, then it's 31, then it's 28, then it's 26, then it's 25. And then the car's like wobbling on top of that. I don't know what fell off the car, but whatever it is that fell off my car, you have to have that on your car. That's an important thing to have on your car.
Well, I'm curious if something wasn't stuck in your tire causing the fluctuation, the tinging and the bouncing was like maybe a pipe or something in your tire.
Maybe.
That thing in your tire flew
out.
It
was originally keeping the air in, But without it, air was escaping
exactly.
rapidly. Right. Right. So at Belmont and Diversey, the good people at Cassidy Tire couldn't have been friendlier. I put into my my knowledge base in the car that
Where's
I needed
the...
a gas station, not even tires, and then it like separated it and said, if you're having this problem, if you're having this problem. But the car kept going like, whoop, whoop, whoop. It's making really loud noises and stuff. They were very pleasant about it. They still have my car. It'll be fixed later. But
I'm dying to know what it was.
I still don't know what it was. It just felt, it just like, I saw it in the rearview mirror just fly off the car. And it seemed great. Like when that happened, I'm like, wow, is this great? Whatever that was.
That would explain the tinging noise as you were driving.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it's not there and air escaping.
Yeah.
Because even if you, and it was big, it wasn't like it was a nail.
No, because I could see, and other cars were pointing at it like, oh, you're driving your car without that thing on your car? But I don't know what that thing is. I know the steering wheel and I know the rear view. There's parts of the car I'm familiar with, but this was like a cylinder. It was a gray cylinder with like a scoop up on the top. I don't know what it is.
Sounds like a garden shovel.
It was a garden shovel.
That was in your tire.
You can't drive your car without a garden shovel. That's the problem.
Like a handheld one, you know?
I usually have one in my utility belt, and today I didn't wear my utility belt, so.
Well, that's tragic.
What
tragic...
a way to start the day.
Yeah, your birthday.
I know, but I did get here on time because I ran from the merchandise mart to here in just under 6 minutes, and even Kenyans were going, hey, slow down. What are you running so fast for? Slow down.
Well, the good news is you're in great shape.
I know.
You were on
time. This forced me to be in good shape.
And they have your car. I thought you just abandoned it somewhere.
I was thinking about that for a little while.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I didn't know. Like,
you come late.
I don't know. Protocol. Yeah, I guess that's what you do. But I thought at some point with the tire pressure going down so rapidly, your car doesn't operate very well on three tires. So I go, I got to at some point have to have a plan B of where I'm going to just dump out on this.
And there was a close place once you checked.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I lucked out there.
See, modern technology, in the old days, you'd have to, you know, find a payphone, call someone.
I know.
Hey, where do I get this thing flew off my car?
I know.
So, well, that's the good news that it's getting fixed.
Yeah. I'm hoping. I mean, whatever that thing was, those are replaceable, right? Everybody's got
those in
stock.
I think it was something in your tire.
Oh, I guess it could have been.
And now you're going to need a new tire.
That happens.
Happy birthday. Maybe we can all pitch in and start a GoFundMe page to get you your new tire.
It's so funny. That's what I asked my family for my birthday.
Just one tire?
Yeah, just one. I'm not hoggish. I just need one.
I'm sorry, because that just puts a whole like damper on your whole day, honestly.
I know.
Because everybody's liking their routine, and you go, and you come in, and you go to work. This really messed you up.
Right. Right.
It really did. I'm sorry.
Well,
I know
it'll be okay.
Bigger things have happened to other people. But
right. I'm sure if we open the phone lines, people will tell us stories that would make that look like a day at the beach. But it's just, you know,
it's unnerving.
You time everything out, and you go, I got plenty of time. But I didn't have, it worked out.
I got to know what it is, though. So when they call you to tell you what it was, will you share with us?
I hope they can figure, that's like my fear is they go, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Those, you don't need one of those. But I did, because without it, my car stopped working properly.
But the car's running fine.
I guess so, but
that
what?
Was a it, warning saying your tire right. is going flat right now, dummy.
Yeah, right. It's,
pull
no,
over.
It says, my car says dummy. It's not afraid to call me dummy. Car shouldn't say that.
That's not very nice.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's collect ourselves. It's a big show today. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are going to do everything in our power to make this a better day for you.
It's going
to
be fine. Everything's fine.
It's Wendy Snyder here and the birthday boy, Bill Leff.
Yeah.
And he had a crappy start to his day.
I'm wearing a Burger King crown to kind of put myself back in the mood. I wear one every day, but today it has a special meaning.
I brought you a present.
You didn't have to do that.
I'm telling
you,
it's nothing, and I need to preface it, and then you can open it on the air. It's
yes.
nothing that will embarrass you.
Oh.
It wasn't a lot of money. I saw it a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, I thought, you're pretty impossible to buy for, in my opinion, because I want to get you toys or collectibles. Oh. Well, you have everything.
I do.
I don't know what what you have.
Oh, all right.
I don't check
fair.
The books to make sure what right. you do and don't have.
It's all cataloged, but that's okay.
So you can go ahead and open
oh,
it in my lovely
so
polka
nice.
Dot paper.
Let me just say, it's whatever it is heavy.
Oh, don't shake it because it might give away
it.
What it is.
The coolest thing in the world would be if it's that thing that fell off my car earlier this morning. I would have no. You'd be like David Blaine to me.
But you wouldn't even be able to recognize what it was.
That's true.
It's nothing major, but I thought of you, and I think you would like it.
That it's heavy. I don't judge gifts in any other criteria other than their heaviness. So whatever it is, I like it.
It's an old thing that I thought you could display.
Oh, look at this.
I just thought of you immediately.
This is fantastic.
Do you have it?
Old? No. This is a Parker Brothers ping pong game from, I'm going to guess, the 50s.
I think you're right.
Right? Look at this.
I think they've replaced some of the paddles because it's supposed to come with four. For some reason, there are five in there.
This is stunning.
It smells a little musty.
The way the 50s smell.
But if anything, I thought, for Christmas, I have purchased 78 records to play on my Victrola, like old Bing Crosby ones. And then at Christmas time, I display them on the Victrola.
Yeah.
I thought this might be something you could put near your ping pong table.
They're vintage. They're really old. And they when I smell them, they make me want to vote for Eisenhower.
I know. It's a little musty. But I thought of
this
you.
This is excellent.
And even just to display it, I thought it was kind of cool. The box is old.
It is.
I thought it was in fairly decent shape.
I love the way, if you look through the manual,
I did.
It tells you how to play ping pong. And I know how to play, but it's better to get their opinion on it. The illustrations, everyone looks like Jack LaLanne, don't they, in the illustrations?
Yes, a very tight-fitting T-shirt.
Yeah.
Some very trim pants. Yep. And quite honestly, some good pecs on this guy.
It tells you offensive strokes. It tells you defensive strokes.
This
is a sex manual. I'm reading the wrong book, Wendy.
Can I just tell you, when I play ping pong, all I do is try to get the ball across the net on the other side.
That's how you play ping pong.
But I didn't know there was a I've watched you play, and people, if you have looked up YouTube videos of like legitimate ping pong players play ping pong, it's so fast. It's like Ricochet Rabbit is playing. That's how Bill plays.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize there were all these different strokes and strategies.
Yeah.
So
you have to know how to spin. You have to know.
I just try to get it over the net.
Thank you so much. This is so cool. It really. The box alone.
Well, that's what I thought.
Sells it is it just looks like it's so old and vintagey because it is.
I know you might want to air it out a little bit, but Kane County Flea Market. I found it and I bought it right away
in the vintage ping pong section.
Yes,
Kane County Fair.
I was with my kids and they're like, "Hey, that's cool." I said, "Yes, for Bill," and they're like, "No, we want it." I said, "You're not getting it.
This isn't for kids."
So it's been
games are not for kids.
Sitting in my house and the kids have wanted to set it up and I said, "No, it's Bill's, not yours."
Well, thank you so much. Now, did you know, since we're talking ping pong facts, and we're going to all day.
That's your birthday. We do what
you
want.
From now until 3, we'll be talking ping pong facts. It is officially called table tennis, but Sears trademarked the word ping pong. So really, if you buy a ping pong table from anywhere other than Sears, it's a copyright infringement. You're supposed to call it table tennis.
I do see the ping pong and then the little R registered trademark there on the side of the box.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought anybody could say it.
That's a fun fact I like to pull out if somebody is beating me. I throw that out and I say, "You just called it ping pong. I just called Sears. You're in legal trouble." And then I call Balkan and Doran and they come and they arrest them. It's a long process, but it's worth it. It gets points for me. Wendy, thank you so much. This is excellent.
Again, it's just I like to find unique gifts, and this one, again, not perfect. The box is a little beat up, but in sort of decent shape. Parker Brothers table tennis set.
Can I tell you what my favorite part of it is? When you play ping pong, and I know you're not a player, but you know this, that thing that you hold that you hit the ball back is called?
A paddle.
A paddle. Look what they call it back in the 50s.
Four rubber rackets.
Four rubber rackets.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
You couldn't say paddles back then. You know why? Because of the war. The word paddles was sanctioned. We had to be very careful in our use of the word paddles back then because the Allied and the Axis were fighting.
I did not know
it's
it.
True.
Hey, they're rubber rackets number 246, by the way.
Oh, are they? In case I need replacements. I have to go back in time and get them that way.
I just thought it might be something cool to display
oh,
in your
excellent.
House.
No, I know exactly where it's going.
Honestly?
In the family room, yeah. I know exactly
in the family
where.
Room?
Yeah.
Terry's going to let that?
The family loves stuff like that.
All right. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Sorry your birthday got off to a crappy
start. No, everything's right now. Everything's fine now.
It'll get better. We have nothing else planned.
Good. I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Zorn does a very seductive birthday dance for me.
I got to leave early.
I might leave with you. All right, we'll take a quick break. There's a lot more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Veronica. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Thanksgiving week, a short week for us. We're here Monday, Tuesday. You're off Wednesday. I'm still working Wednesday, and then we're both off Thursday and Friday. So a shortened week. Please make a note in your scorecards.
I have to get all my fixins for I am having 12 people over.
Oh, you should start cooking now.
No.
Right now.
I'm not going to worry about it this year.
You refuse to?
I'm going
to
do it the night before, like Chef Hans. I can post. Everybody's been asking for his dry brine recipe.
The rest of us pronounce it brine with an N, but he's decided it's brine. So, all right.
Yeah, Kevin.
Brine doesn't pay, Wendy.
The actual ingredients are on our Facebook page or just the podcast of it?
Both. Okay. The podcast and then the ingredients, well, in his handwriting.
It's just Lowry's seasoned salt, regular salt, pepper, and garlic powder. And massage your turkey with olive oil the night before and then press the dry brine, as he calls it, into it. Let it... I don't know what you
simmer?
Call it. No, you just let it
soak in.
And then you cook it the next day, and that's really
couldn't
all you need
easier.
To know. Yeah, I'm going to try it. Over the weekend, some crazy things were happening. Have you seen Hamilton?
I've not seen Hamilton.
Are you going to see Hamilton?
I'd like to.
I would too, but chances
I'd like to.
I don't know. Is it just going to, like, it's sold out for I don't know how long, but my guess would be it would just eventually keep running for a while and we'll be able to see it.
I think it'll play for a long time, and they do this thing every day where there's a lottery with some available tickets that you can get in.
$20, but you got to go that day.
Yeah. It's
Are you signed
tricky.
Up for that?
No.
I just sit there and wait for somebody to ask us to go.
I think at some point, I mean, I've heard such great things about it, and I would, I don't know. I won't die if I don't see it, but I would like to see...
I'm going to wait for the movie.
There will be a movie. You know there will be a movie. But the whole process of it is so foreign to me. Like, remember when they first announced this? You go, oh, that people are going to wait in line for that. A rap musical about Alexander Hamilton?
I know.
Where do I sign up? And then, as it turned out, it's like the biggest hit in Broadway history. So what do we know?
We don't know anything. We've proven that time and time again, if I may say that.
On a daily basis.
Well, Hamilton, of course, the Broadway version of it, about colonial rebels shaping the future of an unformed country.
Sounds like Star Wars.
It does a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the hit took an even more political turn at the end of its performance on Friday night, which I know everyone has heard of by now.
Yeah.
Vice President-elect Mike Pence attended the show. And first and foremost, he was booed on the way in.
It was a mixture of boos and applause.
Mostly boos.
It was mostly boos.
And that doesn't bother me because ask Rahm Emanuel, ask Mayor Daley. Anytime you have a public figure show up at one of these events, I'm telling you, and I don't get it, they get booed.
It's the strangest thing. I've been at parades. I've been at athletic contests.
That bugs me that people boo them, but it happens almost every time.
It's part of the job. Is that there's no politician that's ever made 100% of the people happy. So when you show up someplace, even though you're all smiles, people are going to boo you. That's just how it is.
And that happens, and it did happen. But then, as Vice President-elect Mike Pence was attending the show, when it was over, it appears that he was kind of leaving early, you know, to beat the crowd. And the cast used an opportunity to make a statement emphasizing the need for the new administration of President-elect Donald Trump, a Republican, to work on behalf of all Americans.
Right.
It was a deeply felt and altogether rare appeal from the stage of a Broadway show. And do you think it was the right place for it to happen?
I keep going back and forth.
Me too.
The way it was presented by one of the cast members. I didn't, even though the president-elect calls it bullying, and there's a letter from Stephen
Harassing.
Van Zandt. Who calls it harassing.
Oh, and my God.
He's a guy, Stephen Van Zandt, is a guy that says he disagrees vehemently with President-elect Trump and with Mike Pence. But he said that if you're going to a Broadway play, you don't need to be harassed. You don't need to be bullied. You're just there for a night of entertainment. This was the wrong venue. But if you haven't heard the way it was eloquently presented to Mike Pence, I don't know how you do a better job of saying, look, a lot of the same people that you've been... saying that if you give them some sort of treatment, they won't be gay anymore. Those are the people that just entertained you. They're not looking for treatment. This is the lifestyle.
Oh, the shock therapy to make you not gay anymore?
Yeah, the conversion shock therapy to make you not gay anymore. So I think he was saying, look, we're a diverse group of people. That's essentially what he did say, that just want to have a good life ahead of us, and we don't want to be afraid by you. So just realize you just saw us all perform for you, and take that for what it's worth. I don't think it was bullying, do you?
It wasn't bullying, and it was done with respect. I will tell you that.
Right.
And, you know, with Donald Trump whining about, you know, he was harassed. Really? Mike Pence was harassed by the theater kids?
Right. Well, I don't know if he looked at him as being harassed by the people in the play or the audience. Now, at some point when the cast was taking their curtain call, the crowd started to boo. Mike Pence was recognized by the man making the speech on stage, and he stopped them and said, no. Here's a message I have. Just let's hear this out.
Because Pence was on his way out.
He was practically in the doorway at that point. And to his credit, other people have said this, not just me, he didn't just wave and go, no, I got to go. I got an Uber waiting. I can't. He stayed and he listened to the speech. So I'm not one to give out points erroneously, but he kind of deserves a point for at least sticking it out and listening to what was said. And he himself didn't look at this as bullying.
No, he said he wasn't offended by the message of the Hamilton cast at all.
Right. I don't know how you could be offended by it. There wasn't a single breath in there that was offensive.
No,
was
but
there?
Is it the right place? I mean, when you go see a U2 show and Bono gets on his high horse about politics, in a way, you're not there to see it. And if I was at that production of Hamilton,
right,
it would make me uncomfortable because you're going to irritate half of the audience probably.
Right.
And I paid a lot of money to go see that show, and I don't
want
to think about that right now. I want to escape from real life and watch the show.
Tell me this. I've never seen Bruce Springsteen perform.
I did once.
Because he won't bring me on stage during Dancing in the Dark, and that hurts my feelings. I want to dance with him up there.
You need to be sexier.
I guess I do.
Wear mom jeans. He'll pull you up.
So does Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, which is oftentimes, many times, Steven Van Zandt, do they present any kind of political message during their show ever?
I saw him on the River Tour a million years ago.
Yeah.
But I would imagine yes. And Bruce Springsteen has been very vocal about being anti-Trump.
Right.
So
if they're using it as a pulpit to get their feelings across politically, why can't the cast of Hamilton do the same?
I don't like when Bruce does it. I don't like when anybody does it. If you're there to see a show.
Yeah.
And I just believe, like, if somebody's going to see Bruce Springsteen, you're going to see him. You probably idolize him. You don't care what he says. To me, that's different. You're going to see an ensemble production of a musical that you've probably waited in line for tickets and paid a ton of money. And that would make me uncomfortable. I don't want to think about the divisiveness that's out there when I'm escaping at a play at Hamilton.
It's so funny because that's part of the experience is if you see a movie, if you see a play, is you're trying to leave the outside world outside and just get caught up in the moment. However, that is a play that I'm guessing, because I've not really seen it. I only know what I've read. It really is about it's the politics of the country
and immigrants coming in.
Yeah,
and I guess the person who did the speech was an HIV positive actor.
Oh, I didn't
so
know
he
that.
Was trying to make a point. But I almost feel like they could issue some kind of statement after the fact. Like, we noticed Mike Pence was there. Mike, here is a message I have for you. To me, that would be more appropriate than pulling everyone into it. And I know it's freedom of speech, and I get why he's doing it.
Right.
And I'm kind of wishy-washy. I'm going back and forth.
I think they at some point realized to maximize that message, they could have issued a statement afterwards, but to get the play that they're getting to send the message out. And I read, and I can't confirm this, I only know what I read, that Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes.
I always want to say
Noriega. Me too.
That's not the right answer,
no,
though.
No, because Manuel Noriega.
Wouldn't that be an interesting play though, to see his musical?
Uh-uh. God, it's so weird. We both just blanked.
Lin-Manuel Noriega. El Pina.
Miranda.
The pineapple. Miranda, I guess he's the one that wrote that speech. He's not the one that delivered it because he's no longer in the production, but I guess he had a hand in the writing of it from what I've read.
It was not, it wasn't really disrespectful.
No.
And there are so many people who are like, okay, I'm boycotting Hamilton. I already have tickets. I'm not going to go see it. Then don't see it. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself.
I will
yourself.
Take your tickets. If that's the situation you're that's in, I will gladly take your tickets.
All right. I will put that on my Facebook post. Joe, you have a good point. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, it was delivered at the end of the show. The show had already been completed.
Right.
And for most effect, you want to speak directly to the individual who's going to have the most input, so to speak, other than the big orange pumpkin that runs it. And the focus of the show is the making, the creation of a country.
Right.
That is inclusive of
everyone,
rights of all men,
of everyone,
and it's a reasonable time to speak on such matters.
Do you think, Joe, Mike Pence knew?
Pardon?
Do you think Mike Pence knew what the show was about when he? Do you think he
of
just went because it's a hot ticket?
Mike Pence is not an idiot. I mean, he's a competent person. He has some very strange views, and I'll leave it at that. Kindly.
Yeah.
But the point is, he's an intelligent man. Of course, he knew what was going in. He knew it was something different, and I'm confident that they said, well, the presentation is not normal lines delivered. It'll be in a rap function, a hip-hop function, speaks to the people of now. But so I'm sure he was briefed, if nothing else, before he went in. And I'm sure he was a little surprised that it came out. Not the booze, but like you said before, any politician goes anywhere gets booed because that's what some morons just think they've got to do.
And he said, as the boos were happening, he said, quote, "That's what freedom sounds like." He said that to his family.
Well,
I'm not offended by the boos. That's what freedom sounds like.
And you've got to give him his credit.
Absolutely.
That. You know, God knows I didn't vote for the crew, but he is obviously the more reasonable of the two.
Right.
All right, Joe. We got to run.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
you as
John.
Well. Thank you so much. A quick break, and then we'll come back and hear the audio in case you missed it.
Okay.
And just what are your thoughts? Because I really keep going back and forth. I understand what they were trying to do. I know it was at the end of the play, but then you're also thinking it's a personal message to Mike Pence. I kind of don't want to be involved in it if I was there.
All right. That's fair. Call us or text us, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Woody, WGN.
Friday night, Broadway, Vice President-elect Mike Pence attends the Hamilton play, gets booed on his way in, and did say, "That's the sound of freedom," which is...
If I'm his kid, I go, "No, that's the sound of booing. Freedom doesn't sound like that, Dad."
I quote, "That's what freedom sounds like." He also didn't criticize the show's cast for addressing him from the stage after the play's end and saying he was not offended and he understood their message. Why don't we hear that message that was said at the very end of the play on Friday night, Broadway?
You know, we had a guest in the audience this evening. And Vice President-elect Pence, I see you walking out, but I hope you will hear us just a few more moments. There's nothing to boo here, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to boo here. We're all here sharing a story of love. We have a message for you, sir. We hope that you will hear us out. And I encourage everybody to pull out your phones and tweet and post, because this message needs to be spread far and wide, okay? Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you, and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton and American Musical. We really do. We are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us. Our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. All of us. Again, we truly thank you for sharing this show, this wonderful American story told by a diverse group of men, women of different colors, creeds, and orientations.
The more I hear it, the more I am in support of it.
It doesn't sound like bullying, does it? I mean, that's what people are saying. Well, he just went for a night at the theater, and then the cast is bullying him. if you listen to the content there, there's no element of bullying.
None. And Brandon Victor Dixon is
he plays Aaron Burr.
And
right?
He's the one who said that, and he will not apologize. There's nothing to apologize for, Dixon told CBS News this morning. Again, I don't like to have confrontation, so yeah. If I'm there paying money to go see Hamilton, I would like to see it and go about my business.
Yeah.
But the more and more I hear it, it's not disrespectful. It's showing that they have some fear that a lot of people do, and, you know, we hope you'll take care of us,
right.
Paraphrasing.
Right.
I don't think that's bad.
What if, this is the hugest what if I'll throw your way today, what if this did make a difference, that all of a sudden Mike Pence, a guy who thinks that if you're gay, you go through conversion therapy classes and then you're not gay anymore, you all of a sudden like the opposite sex just from having a seminar or two, what if all of a sudden he goes, boy, you know, there was something to what those people said. This really is a country of people that are all different and they all want to come together. Wow, they really woke me up. Wouldn't that be nice?
It's not going to happen.
I don't know that it will happen.
I mean, it's not one play's not going to change how he's been feeling forever.
But at least these guys took a chance and said, hey, we have this rare, probably once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to show him that even though we're different, we're not that different. We're all kind of the same. He just enjoyed an evening of theater thanks to a diverse group. Let's point that out to him. They had their chance to do it. They took the chance.
And he was just elected. I mean, he probably would have been upset if nobody called out the fact that he was there. He's big balling it now. He's going to be the vice president of the United States.
I know Trump would have been upset that he was not called out, that he was there.
He was upset and he wasn't called out. He tweeted that we were bullying.
I know.
They were bullying him. Theater kids were bullying their vice president-elect.
Right. That's how it happens.
All right, Cindy has something here. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Wendy and Bill. Thank you for letting me speak my thoughts.
Sure.
Unless there is some conflict, some kind of constraints, we're never going to see big change. And the point that I make is that there are some people who live their entire lives, day in and day out, with this concern, with this fear, with the fear of being bullied. People of color, minority people, people who are just marginalized, people who have disabilities. They live their entire lives waiting for the next time they get bullied, the next time they get marginalized. But until the majority of population feels that discomfort, we're not going to make a change. We're not going to make a change until the rest of us are brought into that feeling of discomfort. And if in a play or if in a comedy, somebody says something that makes us feel uncomfortable, maybe we wear that discomfort for a day or two, but maybe we're not going to make a change. The majority's not going to make a change. And let's go back to the bus boycotts in the 60s, which you're probably too young to remember. But unless the majority white population was kind of put on the spot,
yeah.
Their health wasn't coming in, you know, all those kinds of things. It was made everybody feel uncomfortable,
yeah.
And that's when we made changes. We didn't make the changes because we were nice guys, because we were benevolent, because we love those people of color. We had to pay a price. We
right.
were suffering. So unless those things happen, the rest of us who own the power, that is white people, and I have less because I'm a white woman, unless we feel that discomfort, change is not going to happen. And with the Hamilton show, there was the most gentlest handout to say, I live with AIDS every day. I live with color every day. Every day, I don't know if something's going to hit my door that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. And if the rest of us can feel that, and that was a gentle feeling. So that's, I also have a son with a disability. I have a disability, and I know what the power can do against marginalized populations. And until we all feel those discomforts, no change is going to happen.
Thank you for sharing that. I agree with your statements. We appreciate
Beautiful,
that.
Beautiful, Cindy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. I know we're running against the clock here, but Mark, go ahead and ask your question. We have to be very quick, but go ahead.
My question is, would we be having this dialogue if President-elect Trump had not tweeted?
Yes.
If he had not sent out that tweet,
so.
If he had done on that tweet, as of other times, would these issues be coming up like they are?
I believe absolutely. It had nothing.
He put gasoline on the fire, but yeah, I was aware of the story before Trump demanded an apology, but he did. He kind of made it a broader story, a bigger story.
So, yeah, it definitely makes it mainstream, where before, you know, maybe it'd be page 3 or page 5 after the first couple of hours.
I don't know. He's the vice president-elect, and he was kind of called out. To me, that would have been talked about whether or not tweeted or not. Trump tweeted. I can't even get it straight.
Trump
but there
tweeted.
You go, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
I don't
think
that had any bearing on it.
It was just another twist in the story, I guess, you know. All right, we need to take a break. We've got news. Veronica has the news for you, and then there's a lot more after that. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Veronica. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I will be honest with you that I used to go to bars to try and meet people.
You've curtailed that quite a bit, though, since you've gotten married, and that's very cool of you.
Very cool of me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
But, you know, that used to be the place where you'd go to meet people, was at a bar. Well, now you have various apps like Tinder, and that's really the only one I know of because aren't there more? Is there Grindr?
Yep.
That sounds dirty.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, there are apps where you can kind of meet someone or talk to someone and then make arrangements to meet them perhaps at a bar or a restaurant. So I saw this on Twitter, and I wanted to share it with everybody. Right now in England, say you're on this date and it's not going well. Maybe he seems really nice, but all of a sudden he turns a little bit and he's being a little abusive or something's just not quite right. There is a way that you can get help, and it's called Ask for Angela. And on the line with us right now is Haley Child. Are you the woman behind this Ask Angela? Ask for Angela?
I am, yes. Yes, I am. Yep.
All right, so basically, it's a poster that is in the bathroom with the hashtag no more. And tell us some of the things that are on the poster.
Okay, so on the poster, it's quite light, and it's not there to scare anyone. And the idea is that somebody's saying to you, hi, I'm Angela. If you're on a date and it's not going too well, just come to the bar and ask for Angela. So Angela is supposed to be the code word that will let the bar staff know that you need some help. And then the idea is that the bar staff will help you any way they can. So whether that's get you out the back exit or order you a taxi or even go over and speak to your date and ask them to leave. So that's the idea behind it.
So it's there as a protection. Here's what it says. Hi, I'm Angela, and this is a poster that's in the bathroom. Are you on a date that isn't working out? Do you feel like you're not in a safe situation? Is your Tinder or POF date not who they said they were on their profile? Does it all feel a bit weird? If so, go to the bar and ask for Angela. The bar staff will know you need some help getting out of your situation. They'll call you a taxi or help you out discreetly without too much fuss.
That's a great idea.
Because that would be a problem, too, if, you know, sir, you know, this isn't going well. I think maybe we should leave. That might escalate to a worse situation.
Well, that was my thinking behind it, you know, because you don't always know who you're going to meet until you meet them. You don't know how they're going to respond. Some people have suggested, oh, well, why don't they just get hold of their phone and text their friend or call their friend? Well, some people might not respond very well to you picking up your phone and playing with your phone while you're supposed to be on a date with them. So the idea of this is that you can actually go up to the bar and make it look as normal as possible and get that help and support there and then and not have to wait on someone to come and collect you.
Haley, it sounds like you may have had an unsavory episode or two, and that's what led to this. Is that kind of the story behind this?
No, actually, I've been very lucky. But I've had a few friends who have gone on dates before, and it's turned out to not be the person they thought it was. And so it came from that as well. Just thinking back to my friends, and what I'd like to think is that wherever my friends were, whatever bar they were in, they knew they could get that support from the bar staff.
And you, sexual violence and abuse strategy coordinator, the Ask for Angela posters are part of the council's wider hashtag No More campaign. And basically, you guys are out to promote a culture change in relation to sexual violence, abuse, promote services in Lincolnshire, and empower victims to make a decision on whether to report incidents. There's a website if people want more information. It's lincolnshire.gov Haley.uk/no more. Now, Haley, I saw this on Twitter. This has been retweeted. This poster has been retweeted hundreds of thousands of times. Any chance that this is going to spread out and not just be happening in England?
Yes, I've actually been contacted by quite a few partners across the country. I've also been contacted by the police in Australia. I've been contacted by people in Canada, in the US, and also Lithuania. So I've been sharing the poster with them as well, taking off our hashtag no more, so they can actually put their own mark on it, but use the main content of the poster. So I'm hoping it will go worldwide. It's so simple. And if it means that it'll make people feel more safe, then I'm for that.
I know this will sound like I'm kidding. Trust me, I'm not. Is there a male equivalent to this?
Well, actually, this is not just for females. In Lincolnshire, we actually have the posters in male toilets as well.
You do.
So I think a lot of newspapers and magazines have reported that it's just for females, but it's actually not.
Why Angela? How come you came up with the name Angela? What's the meaning behind that?
Well, there were two strands to this. So my best friend's friend was murdered by her husband. And she'd experienced a lot of domestic abuse in the lead up to that. And her name was Angela Crompton. So I took the name Angela initially from that. And when I spoke to other people about using the name Angela, they raised with me that, you know, it sounds very much like guardian angel. So it kind of fell well with people. So I kept it.
Good. That's a good reason.
This is an amazing campaign that will help many people. My only question is now, it's kind of a catch-22, because now that the name's out there, Angela, are people going to abuse this system? Will you have to change the name ever? Have you thought about that?
Yes. Well, initially, when I put the posters in place, it was supposed to be very discreet. It was just the fact that somebody actually tweeted the poster that Angela became, you know, it went viral. And that was never the intention. But what I would suggest to other bars is if they want to make it more discreet, to actually change the name on their posters in their bars, maybe to the name of somebody that doesn't work in their bar, so then they know that, you know, it's a code word that everyone recognises. But so far, everyone seems to have just kept with Angela. I think the idea is that people know they can go to the bar. I doubt there's going to be many people that will actually ask for Angela. I imagine they'll just go to the bar and say, I've seen your poster and I need some help.
What a great idea. You have to be proud of yourself. Haley Child, Sexual Violence and Abuse Strategy Coordinator for Lincolnshire. I just wanted to meet you and congratulate you and pass this along. Hashtag no more. It's the hashtag no more campaign. And if people want to find out more information, and maybe there is someone listening now who's has some kind of organization that wants you to hook up with them, how do they get in touch with you?
They can email me at my email address is actually on my Twitter account as well. But it's Haley, Haley. Child, Child, no S on the end, at lincolnshire.gov.co.uk.
Okay, and you're also on Twitter, and yes, that's what I was going to say. Ask for Angela. I just wanted to tell you, I didn't know what POF was, and I had to look that up.
I still don't. What is POF?
Could you tell
Plenty
us?
Plenty of fish.
Plenty of fish.
Plenty of fish.
It's another app?
Oh.
It's another dating website, yeah.
And is it for mermaids, or who is that for?
It doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, I read it at the very beginning, and it's been bothering me the whole time. I wrote POF, POF, and I didn't have time to look it up while we were talking to you. So you
know.
Can tell I'm old and married, and so is Bill. Well, great job, Haley Child. Really, this is something that I really think is going to help a lot of people, and I hope we can get it to use in our country as well as yours.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Haley. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. I have to tell you something. You are now the same age as I am.
You're still a lot older.
I'm not a lot older.
Our age is the same, but you have been on the earth a lot longer than me, and you're a lot wiser than I am.
That's true. I act younger than you, though.
Yes. Yes.
I'm wearing my biker jacket today.
Right.
Just to prove I can wear something that you shouldn't when you're over 20.
It's the kind of jacket that I bet if we were at Arnold's and you hit the jukebox, it would just start playing songs.
Everything goes back
just
to happy
this.
Days.
Ay, just do that.
Shut up.
Ay.
All right. Well, I'm probably too old to wear a moto jacket.
Come
like
on,
this.
You're pulling it off.
No, because I'm wearing it.
Oh, all right.
But that's the thing. There was a new study, and this makes me want to throw up if you want to know the truth.
Oh, no.
There's a new study. This they surveyed 2,000 Brits. Hello. Yeah. We just spoke to Haley Child.
Was she one of the 2,000?
No.
Probably not. No.
They were asked an age when women should retire their jeans.
Oh, that's a good question.
So how? What's the age when women are too old to wear jeans?
To wear jeans?
Which, if you notice...
You're still wearing them right now.
You wearing them?
Yeah, I am.
I guess it doesn't count for men, but this makes me want to puke.
Boy, now, do you want the answer that I would give, or do you want the answer that I think 2,000 British women gave?
I don't know. I want both.
I don't know that women are ever too old for jeans.
Good answer, Bill Love.
I don't think they are they? Why would they be?
I say, you know, wear what you want as long as they fit and they look okay. Who cares?
Except sometimes there's a... you've heard the phrase, I didn't make this phrase up, mom jeans.
Yeah, you're wearing them right
I'm
now.
I'm wearing a pair right now. I got them at Chico's. I picked myself up a pair of mom jeans.
They're very expensive at Chico's.
I don't care. Money's no issue. I just want to look like a mom.
Obama was accused of wearing
the mom
jeans.
We went shopping together. What size jeans do you wear, Bill? I think I can help. I just wanted to point out the fact that some jeans have more in the rise section. You know what I mean?
Well, high-waisted pants, those are all coming back for even the young teens now.
Really?
And I don't get it.
That's a mistake. That's
yeah,
a fashion mistake.
I don't like the high rise. But the survey says...
Yep. Bing, bing, bing.
53.
Now, how would they come up with that number?
The survey was conducted by Collect Plus Courier Service.
Oh, all right.
Whose marketing director appears to not actually believe the results herself. Catherine Wolf described the research as surprising. She thought it was a generational divide, with some people believing that jeans are the reserve of the younger generation.
Right.
But she added, denim is such a universal material, and with so many different styles available, it's a timeless look that people of all ages can pull off.
I think so.
I do, too.
Although,
I hate this study.
I'm trying to... Did your grandmother ever wear jeans? Did your mom ever wear jeans?
You know, it's funny. No.
Never.
No. No. There was a picture of my mom. She was on some kind of camping trip with my dad. I don't know if they were married at the time or if they were camping in sin.
Oh.
But she had on, very stylish, I may add, she had on like a red plaid flannel shirt with some jeans that you would imagine, I can't even, like 50s type things. They were very tight and they were rolled up at the bottom, kind of like what's popular again today.
Like a crop jean rolled up with some
boots. It was very stylish, and this was in the 40s or 50s.
And this was her camping attire.
Yeah. Yet very stylish. But as an adult and as my mom, I don't ever remember her wearing jeans.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
They didn't, you know, jeans were, there weren't so many types of jeans. There were Levi's button fly, and there were Wranglers for the rodeo people.
Yep.
And there were just several kinds of jeans, but they did not wear well on an older woman with a womanly figure.
Because of the cut of the jean, right?
And now you got jeggings, you've got skinny cut, you've got boot cut, you've got super flare, you've got mini flare, you've got boot cut, you've got everything to choose from in high waist, low rise.
So that's the jean industry saying, if we want to keep people wearing these, we have to offer them options into their 50s, 60s, and beyond, right?
I want to know if there's any listener out there in their 80s that still wears jeans, because I'm telling you right now, if I'm alive.
Yeah, you wear. I could see that in your 80s.
I'm going to wear my jeans.
Right.
Hi, Carol. The study, you can't
Hello
wear...
Hello there. How are you this morning?
I'm upset that I can't wear jeans after the age
now.
I am right now.
It's illegal, Wendy.
Oh, you've got to be kidding, honey. I was born in 1937. I will be 80 coming up in March.
Happy birthday.
Next year.
Yeah.
And, well, it's not quite like yours. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
But anyway, I grew up in the 50s. Do you know how our parents were so upset with us walking around with our Levi's, and then it was the father's shirt that was tied?
Yeah.
I never gave up those jeans. But I have to tell you now, Wendy, not your daughter's jeans sells for quite a bit, but they fit beautifully, and they look terrific. And not only that, you can go over to Kohl's and pick up a pair for $17.99 that are going to fit you. So, you know, why would you stop wearing them?
I am so with you. And now, Carol, if you realize, jeans have changed. I get mine at American Eagle Outfitters, and I love the way those fit.
Yeah.
My husband now wears them. There is so much stretch in a jean that it is unbelievably comfortable now.
Sure.
Oh, I know. I know. Don't ever think you have to give it up, honey. I absolutely love it. And what looks better? You put on your pair of jeans. They don't get all wrinkled and messy looking. And you put on a decent sweater, and you can go anywhere. I'm off to my bridge clubs in Lake Geneva. And, you know, I don't care if nobody else wears them. I do.
God love you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. I
Thank
love
you.
Thank you,
Carol.
So much. How
Carol
about
wears
that?
Them, and she's in the wild bunch. all right, let's do this. We need to take a quick break. Veronica has the news, and then Eric Zorn will stop by. We'll find out what's on Eric Zorn's mind. Stay where you are. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
There's a lot of praises to be sung when you're talking about Eric Zorn, one of the finest columnists the Chicago Tribune has ever had. Hi, Eric. How are you?
And one of the greatest fathers in all the land.
In all the land.
According to the song. I didn't write the song. I just have to accept the
I get it.
The decision.
I get it. Eric, we want to talk about, as the year comes to a close in less than a month and a half,
wow,
what
that
the word
quickly.
Of the year will be.
Well, every year there's a bunch of different publications and groups that list their word of the year. And this year, the Oxford Dictionaries have come out. They're the first ones out of the gate with the word of the year. And it's smart of them because they get all the coverage. You know, pretty soon, dictionary.com, Merriam-Webster, the Association of Advertisers, Global Language Monitor, all these places are going to come out with their word of the year.
Right.
Oxford Dictionaries got out first.
Very smart.
Very smart. So they got all the stories. And the stories were interesting for a couple of reasons. I'm just going to tell you what their choice was, because I think it's a lousy choice.
Oh.
And it was post-truth, as in we are in a post-truth political age.
I don't get it. Sorry.
Well,
I really don't.
Truth doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it makes sense. I get what they're saying, which is that, you know,
another word for lies.
Another word for lies. Well, but we're in a post-truth era, which means that, you know, Donald Trump can just say, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. It's not going to cost anything. I'm going to get rid of Obamacare. You're going to have great health care at, you're going to pay less for it. Not factual.
Right.
People don't care. We're post-truth. And the problem with that is that it's a little bit like the word of the year from about 10 years ago, which was truthiness. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was
Stephen
Colbert's thing, which is like something that isn't actually true, but it feels true. So but the other thing is, like, I don't really, have you heard people talk about, hey, we're in a post-truth era?
I've only heard that phrase once before. You just mentioned it now.
I've never heard it.
But anyway, I don't
like it. I'm not going to use it.
Good. Well, there you go. But I wanted to take you guys through the I have my own nominee. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe after the commercial, which would be
all right.
Exciting.
Look at the tease already.
People would be like waiting in their cars.
That's a tease of a tease.
I know. We're going to get to it.
That's pre-tease.
There were nine other words that made their short list. I want to see if you guys even know what these mean. Alt-right was one of them. You guys know what that is, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The alt-right, the nice name for white nationalism.
Yeah.
Glass cliff.
So that's like a glass ceiling, but the almost the opposite.
Well, it refers to this thing that apparently is a phenomenon which they promote women to high levels of responsibility generally in times of great peril.
Yeah.
So that they end up going over the glass cliff. They're promoted to this great position, but it's at a time
doomed
that's really,
fail.
Really difficult.
Yeah.
Now, I had not heard about that.
I've not heard of that.
But it does make sense. They said that women get these jobs in terms of times of crisis or downturn, and the risk then of failure is the highest.
So they're blamed for that?
So they're blamed for it, yeah. So
well,
they get.
Is there an example
right?
that comes to mind immediately? I'm trying to think of a clear-cut example.
Well, who was the woman who took over Yahoo when it was...
Oh, right.
I forget her
I don't
name.
Know her name either.
But we ought to know her name. We're in the news business.
But was she not chosen because she was a woman, was she?
I don't think anyone says, like, let's blame it on women. But apparently this is a pattern that has developed.
All right.
Now, Hygge, it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E.
I don't know what that is. That would be an awful word of the year.
Yeah, it's Danish, and it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, and it refers to a feeling or mood that gives you genuine pleasure, makes ordinary things feel beautiful or special. The Telegraph, Great Britain's publication, says it's the absence of anything annoying or emotionally overwhelming, taking pleasure from the presence of gentle, soothing things. Candlelight is Hygge. Bakeries are Hygge. Dinner with friends is Hygge.
That's stupid.
I'm not subscribing to this at all.
I don't like it at all. It's one of the things I think, this is the word of the year. You think, I have never heard. How could it be the word of the year? I've never heard it.
Because you use words almost every day.
Most of the time I do.
Like Zen would be better. I'm sure that's been a word before, but...
But not the word of the year. It's not one that's emerging. But anyway, chatbot is another one, which is, of course...
I know that.
Chatbot.
Isn't that what I am?
No. It's a computer program that emulates speech, where you're...
Like Siri.
Kind of like that, yeah. Adulting, like we were adulting this weekend, meaning that you do things that are like an adult. It's kind of a funny word, meaning like...
That's not funny.
The example was,
stupid
was adulting so hard, I bought a leaf blower and I increased my contribution to my 401k.
I don't think I'd be friends with somebody who'd said that sentence.
I think you wouldn't be.
That's because you don't ever want to do the adulting.
No, I don't ever. Never.
Brexiteer.
Oh, interesting. So that's somebody behind the Brexit
movement?
Someone
who was in favor of the Brexit movement.
Right.
Woke. That's a good one. Woke is I think it's a plausible.
Woke.
Meaning got up?
Woke. No.
What does that mean?
All right.
W-O-K-E?
W-O-K-E. Like, I'm woke.
I'm so
term? Aware of?
Let's ask Kevin if he knows. Ask Kevin.
Kevin. Do you know... Woke. I'm woke, yo.
If you're
you
woke.
Just woke Kevin, by the way.
I didn't even look. I sensed Kevin behind me rolling his eyes.
What does that mean, Kevin?
I know the context. I don't know if I could describe well, but if you're woke, you're kind of, you're like raging almost. Is that accurate?
Well, no, it's more like you're aware.
Tuned in?
You're sensitive to the political discourse, to racial injustice, racial tension. You're aware of that. The New York Times says you should think of woke as the inverse of politically correct. If politically correct is a taunt from the right, woke is a way of patting yourself on the back, saying that you're sensitive to what's going on.
You can't say aware of?
It came out of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. I'll start saying that then.
That's
pretty Hygge.
This one is...
Wait, hold on, Eric. There's more. There are more.
Freeze. There are more.
Do the mannequin challenge.
And I will. That's a good one. I'm not going to tell you until you run some commercials.
That's the way it should be. Eric Zorn is here. Listen to him. He's feisty and he's Hygge all at the same time. We'll take a quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. He's accusing us of being too slick, the first person in history.
People are turned off by the slickness.
By the slickness of the show. Eric, you were discussing Oxford every year puts out. Now, this is the dictionary, not the university and not the shoe company, but the actual dictionary Oxford. They put out a list of what their candidates are for the word of the year.
Well, they name the word of the year, and they don't have any tension about it. They don't say, here are the finalists, drum roll,
they should
please.
Do some build-up toward
should.
It.
There should be like a red carpet thing
right.
where people dress as the word.
Yeah,
Someone
that would be fun.
As Hygge.
Post-truth is this year's word of the year, like it or lump it. It's post-truth.
Post-truth, meaning that we are in a state of where facts don't matter anymore. Politicians can tell you anything, and you'll just believe
it. The truth is old news.
Well, and also to get into this whole business that we've been talking a lot about fake news.
Right.
Where you see a story on Facebook and you forward it to all your friends and it turns out, gosh, the Amish did not endorse President Trump.
Right.
How could that possibly be?
Right.
Are we ready for take two?
Yeah.
Okay. Take two. Wendy. Aren't you going? I thought you
could... Oh, no, I'll do this later.
Oh, I thought you had to do it now.
No, we have time. We'll do it later. No, sorry.
I thought you meant take two on the words.
Take two on the words. Go. Okay, we'll take two on the words. Here's the last couple of finalists. One, this is stupid. It's coulrophobia, C-O-U-L-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. And it means fear of clowns.
Oh, well, that's been going around forever.
But it was a big news story for a while this year, right?
Oh, right, clowns.
The menacing clowns. But I would never put a word to that, coulrophobia.
Is it fear of clowns or is it dislike of clowns? Because I think more people dislike them than they are afraid of them.
I'm scared.
Are you afraid of them?
Yes,
yeah.
I'm afraid of them.
Kind of both.
Yeah?
Kind of both.
A little bit?
Mostly
right.
Dislike.
Okay.
Clowns, mimes, no.
Because you're not seeing the real person. You're seeing someone who is camouflaged. You don't know what they really look like. You don't know what they're thinking. That's why I'm afraid of them. Same with mascots.
Yeah.
I can't make eye contact with them.
And the last finalist here is, it's actually a pretty good word. I'd never heard it. It's Latinx.
Having to do with people of Latin culture?
Yes, close. It's the gender-neutral alternative to Latino or Latina.
Latinx.
Latinx. It's gender-neutral, and it came out of the queer community, basically. Yeah.
Did they combine LGBT? Hispanic and Latino-Latina?
No, they just added the X to the...
It's ending with an X, not an ICS.
I hadn't heard that. You know, I just wanted to point out that if you look back at some of these words of the year that just didn't stand the test of time, in 2000 it was Chad.
Yeah, the hanging Chad.
Right.
In 2006 it was Plutoed. Meaning
because Pluto was not,
demoted or devalued, like it happened to the former planet. 2011, the word of the year was Occupy. Remember the Occupy Wall Street?
Sure.
Yes.
But
it's like, I feel like the word of the year ought to be something that...
It's timeless.
Yeah, like hashtag was the word of the year a couple of years ago. I think hashtag is going to last for a while. So anyway.
All right. So this year, as you pointed out, the word of the year, according to Oxford's dictionary, is post-truth. You have a better idea, though?
I think the word of the year, and it's a kind of a late nominee, but I think it should be normalize. And we're talking a lot about normalizing Donald Trump. And people are saying, well, don't normalize a lot of the things that he has said. I've heard that word a lot in the last couple of weeks. And usually in a sensible conversation, used in a way that is sharply pointed at this exact question, which is how much do we say that, okay, what Donald Trump has been saying is okay, and the campaign that he ran was normal, and this is just another normal transition of power. And there are a lot of people, and I'm kind of one of them, who thinks this is not a normal time in American politics. And if we say, oh, well, yes, it was perfectly fine for him to, call out, to tweet the way he tweets, this vindictive kind of tweeting that he does, and his embrace of this alt-right movement, the winking that he's done at some of these fringe groups. This is not a normal time. And so to normalize him, say, oh, he's just another politician, we'll give him a chance.
Right.
Let him see what he does.
Right.
I think there's a strong resistance to that. I mean, we're saying, like, no, he has had his chances. He had his chances to become presidential when he was nominated. Finally, when he finally won the nomination, he appealed to all the crazies in his party and got that nomination. He had a chance to pivot, become presidential. He had a chance after he was elected to become more presidential. And he's tweeting out, and I think you said you talked about this earlier in the show, where, he's offended by a skit on Saturday Night Live, and he's in his,
it's one-sided.
In his bedroom, tweeting out angrily, "I want equal time on Saturday Night Live."
He's going to be made fun of, whether people like him or not, on all of these types of shows. Barack Obama was made fun of, and despite the fact that they liked him. That goes with the territory.
It's part of the job. It's what you sign up for. And there's a broader question that I have that has to do with, you've heard that he now kind of doesn't want to live in the White House full-time.
Yeah, he's going to live in New York.
Melania and what's the 10-year-old? Baron are going to live in New York.
Right.
So he can keep going to the same school.
Right.
And he wants to commute on weekends.
Which they estimated, if he serves a four-year term, would cost the American public in upwards of $10 million to keep him going back and forth. That seems fair.
Well, and the headache. I mean, when Obama would come back to Chicago,
yeah,
and he lives down in Kenwood, but people down there, it was like it turns into an armed camp, and you understand why. I mean, you have to have a lot of security for the president of the United States. They're blocking off Fifth Avenue, and that's a major artery in New York. New Yorkers are furious about this.
Yeah, I can
even
imagine.
Even now, when he's there, and they're imagining if he comes back every weekend, he's going to be like one of those congressmen who, you know, they sleep in their offices in Washington, and then on the Thursday afternoon, if they get the first plane back home.
I'm telling you, Trump and I are so similar. When I ran for class president freshman year, I just wanted to win. I didn't want any of the job that came with it. And I really kind of believe that's this. He seems overwhelmed and has mentioned the fact that this is a huge job.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not sure that he actually, you know, wants to do all the things that he's got to do.
Right.
To be president.
I wouldn't want to do that, man. Who would?
Oh, this is, I have the same question about the governor of Illinois. Who'd want that job?
Yeah. I can't imagine.
This thing last week where Dick Durbin said, you know, I think it was about a week ago now, he said he was reelected to his leadership post in the Senate. He said, I'm not going to run for governor of Illinois. He'd been kind of signaling he wasn't going to. And all of a sudden, there's just all these people saying, oh, maybe he'll run, maybe she'll run. And I go, really?
Why?
Who wants that job? The state is in such a terrible condition.
I know.
And
give someone the job so it can be a glass cliff for them.
Glass cliff, yes.
I learned from you, Eric.
Robin Kelly.
Go back a little bit to the tweets that Trump is very fond of sending out. In every tweet where he gets defensive, he always throws in a dig. Like in this one about Hamilton, he mentions that he's heard that it's overrated. He's not seen it, but people have told him it's overrated. When he blasts Saturday Night Live, he always takes a shot at
it. It's not funny anymore.
It used to be funny. It's not funny anymore. There's always a little bit of a, even though he's trying to just defend himself, there's just enough of a dig so you know. So why is he even watching Saturday Night Live? Doesn't he have other things to be
Don't
working
you get
on
the
right
feeling?
Now?
I understand. Well, I've started paying much more attention to the show Morning Joe on MSNBC.
Yeah,
you guys ever
the show Scarborough.
That? There was a podcast. They podcast the audio of it, which is how I follow it. And the reason I'm paying attention to it is that I'm told that he watches that show every morning and that essentially Joe Scarborough is the host, is the Trump whisperer because he's a Republican. Oh. He's a former Republican congressman. Yeah. And so that when he is talking to the national audience, he's actually talking to Trump. And Trump is perhaps listening to him. Like this morning, he's carrying on about Mitt Romney would be a great choice for Secretary of State. That would show the public that you know, you're a serious person, and these other choices show the public that you're not a serious person. I'm paying attention to this because you get the feeling that he's just consuming media.
That's where he's getting his news.
He's too busy to go to fight his lawsuit, right? He settled his lawsuit for $25 million.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's guilty.
It doesn't mean he's guilty.
That's the most harmful part of that is no admission of guilt for something that he's obviously guilty about. I understand the way the judicial system works, but that's unfair. To just part of his deal is I don't have to admit, no one has to
he's
say I'm
too
guilty.
Busy. He doesn't have time to research it.
He's got to watch Saturday Night Live. The truth is, though, do you watch Saturday Night Live at all?
Yes, religiously.
Yeah, I do too. I still watch it. I DVR it, of course, because I'm sound asleep by 10:30 on Saturday night. But the thing is that if you watch the talk shows the next morning, the Sunday talk shows, they're often playing clips from Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live, you know, for all you can say about it, it still sets the tone, the satirical tone, and these Alec Baldwin skits with Trump. They were playing those clips like in all the talk shows that I saw. So it is really, you know, setting that tone.
Yep.
But you know, Trump, not just letting this insult him. Like Mike Pence responded pretty well on Face the Nation. He said, you know, hey, well, they can say what they want. It's not a big deal. Trump is having a little hissy fit, and you just got to be bigger than that. And if you are going to have a hissy fit, have it in private.
Have it on Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah. This is going to be the president.
That should be the word of the year, hissy fit.
Got to take away
that should be it. Eric, thank you. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. Listen to his podcast. It's Mincing Rascals. It's fantastic. We'll be back and find out what Suzanne Muchen has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Veronica. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, and this is part two of our Monday show. As I pointed out earlier, it's a shortened week for obvious reasons, the Thanksgiving holiday. So you're here again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here tomorrow and Wednesday.
You always work harder than I do.
And that, well, I'm younger than you are. I'm a lot younger.
You are now the same age as me, Bill.
It's the same number, but you've been here longer.
Since February.
Well,
not that much longer. 6 months.
A lot happened in that time, though. A lot.
I'm more mature. That's definitely
way
true.
Way more mature. Did you hear about this guy? There's a guy in Georgia.
Can I give away something first,
please,
in honor of your birthday?
Yeah. Yeah.
We had Firehouse Subs for lunch for Bill's birthday, so we would like to share with you, the audience. It's the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break, and if you would like a Firehouse Subs gift card right now, I tell you, be caller number 12. at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, caller number 12. And if you don't win, you can go into a Firehouse Subs and ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get the seasonal turkey and cranberry sub. May I just say, mmm.
Say that, yeah.
For only $4.99. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen and enjoyed by all. I added that last part.
Mike and Joliet. You put out a call, and Mike and Joliet was the caller 12, so he will win the Firehouse Subs that you just described. Congratulations, Mike, and all of Joliet. I'd be very proud if one of my fellow Jolieters were to win that sub.
All right, back to you, Bill.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Apparently, thank you. Speaking of which.
Oh, yes. Well, you need an update for the listeners.
Oh, I had some car problems earlier. Something flew off my tire on the way in.
And then it went flat.
And the good people over at Cassidy Tire fixed it up for me. Thank you, David, and all the Cassidys for making my tire work again.
But we don't know what it was.
Nah, I don't know what it was. I have to tell you something birthday related.
Okay.
Really quick. And then this story that's very important and hard to believe. My wife and daughter said to me the other day, hey, your birthday's on Monday, pick a restaurant, and that's where we'll go. And that's what we always do on our birthdays is if it's Reese's birthday or Kylie's or my wife's,
you're
that's
not that
how
original.
It works.
We no, kind of do that, too.
That's the way the world spins, right? It's your birthday, pick your place, we'll all go there and celebrate with you. So I pick a place that we've been to on my birthday in the past and that everybody enjoys, and then they voted it down.
They can't do that.
I don't think so either. We're going to a different place that we also go to sometimes on my birthday, and I like that
just
as
much. But it's your pick.
That's what I thought. I brought that up, and I tried to show them in the rule book, but there's no – I guess that's one of those rules that just is – it's not written down anywhere.
No, but everybody – it's an understood rule.
Right.
They ask you where you want to go for your birthday. You say a place, and they
vetoed
it.
Well, they – like I told them, and there was no enthusiasm at all. And it's a place we've been to and everybody likes. But then one of my daughters said, well, we always go to Tamale's, you know, my friend Jess's place.
Oh, yeah, love it.
And I go, oh, yeah? Oh, well, then we'll go there. And then, like I said later on to my wife, I said, like, if I wouldn't have changed over, what would you have done? And she said, well, we voted, and it was 3-1, so we're going to go to Tamale's, which I love, too.
Yeah, but that's still not fair.
No, I don't think it is.
They should say, we have planned this awesome dinner for you. You know where we're going? And then they tell you.
That's a better move.
But if they give you a choice, they have to adhere to your choice on your birthday.
I'm looking for a new family, Wendy. This is it. This is the last straw. They can't do that to me. All right, here's the reason I asked you to come in today to tell you this story. There's a guy in Georgia who, now the election was about 2 weeks ago, right?
It'll be 2 weeks on Tuesday. I tried to block it out.
On Tuesday, it'll be the 2 week anniversary of the election.
That's all?
Yeah. This guy in Georgia, Joe Chandler is his name, doesn't know who won the election and doesn't want to know and wears a shirt that says that.
Well, I think he's lying.
How could you not know?
How could you avoid it?
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Here's the story. It's from Brunswick, Georgia. A Georgia man who still doesn't know the results of the presidential election said that his accidental art project began with a simple party invitation. I know that's a convoluted. I'll explain that in a second.
That's what we were hoping.
Joe Chandler, a Brunswick artist, said that he found the presidential race between Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump to be so stressful that he declined an invitation to an election night party. Here's what he says. I was invited to an election night party and to stay up into the night with everybody gnawing their nails, hanging on, and I thought, oh, there has to be a better way. I get all emotional when I talk about this, Wendy.
No, you had a lump in your throat.
Emotional. Chandler went to bed not knowing about Trump's eventual victory.
Because it wasn't figured out before we went to bed, most people. I stayed up.
Yeah, right, right. It was still kind of in the air, right? When he woke up feeling peaceful the next day, that was Wednesday, he decided to make that feeling last. Having subtracted myself from this political fracas and all the mayhem of the digital media. See, just by the way he talks, you go, this is a smart guy. He's thrown out fracas like it's nothing. But is it possible? I kind of found the center of the cyclone, he says. It is a very peaceful feeling in my bubble of ignorance, Chandler said. He said it wasn't too difficult for him to avoid having the results spoiled.
How?
Because he works from home and is kept clear of his television, his radio, newspapers, and social media.
Well, then what does he do for a living? He cleans houses?
I don't know. No, because even if you went to a different house, somebody would go, oh, how about that thing the other night with the election? Wasn't that something?
Or there'd be a newspaper on the table?
Somewhere.
Or...
He stayed clear of TV, radio, newspapers, and social media. Chandler said he wears headphones when he leaves the house, along with a sign. And this is my favorite part. I know I can't show you the picture, but he has a sign that says, I don't know who won, and I don't want to. Please don't tell me. And people have abided by that.
If I see a guy with a sign like that, you know darn well, I gotta tell him.
I know. People have been very respectful of my decision, he told the Today Show. They didn't even leak, like nobody on the Today Show leaked it. Nobody?
You know, well, they're not very smart.
Those two ladies who are on at the end are always drunk. You don't think one of them in a drunken stupor just go, okay, I will tell you Trump won. That never happened.
Can I tell you, I didn't know they really drank wine on the show until this year.
They really do.
I've never watched it, and it was on in the studio. I'm like, they're drinking.
That's
you
Hoda and Kathy
duh.
Lee, and they've got, it's a nonstop bottle of
How
wine
do
on
I
there.
Get that job? Why don't we start doing
they
that?
They already have that. That's their job. Chandler said he knows he can't avoid the results forever. I would agree with him. That would be tough. But he hasn't yet figured out how he wants the news to be broken to him.
He is a
you
non-truther,
think he's lying?
Yes.
You think he's lying to us? I don't really have an exact exit plan, he said. He said that one idea would involve using a box of balloons like a gender reveal party. The box would contain red balloons for the Republican victory and blue for the Democrat.
Who's going to do this for him?
I don't know.
If he does it for himself, he's going to know what color he put in the boxes.
Right. Right. I am almost ready for somebody to put me out of my misery. And when
Let's
they do,
them.
I'll do it if you want to do it. I'll do it.
Can we try and get his number? Bill, you have to do it. I really
Joe
don't want
Chandler.
I don't want to break his heart.
No, I don't. Then I'd feel bad. I mean.
You'd be the one. He'd do all these interviews. And how did you eventually find out? Some guy named Bill left.
Doofus. That's what he would say.
He wouldn't call you
some
a doofus.
Absolute doofus.
That's not nice.
I have a feeling that I might be stepping back into a world of more misery if I know, Chandler says. All right, I've told you this. When the Cubs were in the playoffs, like I would play tennis on some of those nights, and I would say to the people on the next court, can you do me a favor? I'm DVRing the game. If you know any results, could you please not say anything? And all the guys I was playing with were doing the same thing I was doing.
Right, so they were in the same boat.
They were in the same boat. When the match was over, I would cover my ears and run out like a ninny. My mom would refer to that move as a ninny.
God, I haven't heard that word in a long time.
I would
thank
cover
you.
My ears and I would just go, I would like make inaudible noises and run through the clubhouse to my car. And I already fixed my car so that the broadcasts weren't on. But I would do that and it would be, you know, 10 minutes before I was home and watching it on DVR. This guy's gone nearly 2 weeks and still doesn't know who won the presidential election.
That's what I mean. I don't believe him. There's nowhere you can go that you wouldn't know. I'm sorry.
Somebody would leak it.
Somebody would make a comment. There'd be a sign somewhere.
Right.
You can't
right.
live in a bubble for
People
2 weeks.
In comas know that Trump won. This guy's walking around. I don't know how he does
Which
it.
Which is weird because they voted for Hillary.
Right. Right. Self-induced comas.
See, people, we can make fun of both parties.
Yes.
All right. I just know that there are, over the weekend, Jim records the Blackhawks games, and he warns me and says,
don't say anything.
I got work to do. We're not going to be able to even start the game till 10:30.
Right.
So don't tell me anything and order a Lou Malnati's. I'll be upstairs from the basement at 10:30.
Right.
Well, I diddle around on social media, so almost always I know the results.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you know? I said, I don't know anything. And then, almost every game, I say some comment that he goes, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. So I literally have to shut up during it.
My wife is an actress. So who better to act like you don't know something or you do know something? On a couple of those nights where I came home and the Cubs were playing, I could tell by her eyes it was good news or bad news. And she's an actress.
She's got to act better at home.
I know.
I know if you watched SNL, Kristen Wiig just kills me. And there's this character she plays that is a woman who cannot keep a secret.
Right.
What's her name? Susan.
Yeah.
Susan.
So. Right.
Oh my God, that's how I am. It's like if I know I can't say anything, I can't hide
it. Makes it harder, doesn't it?
So I would like to be in on the secret as well, because then I can't ruin it.
Right. It's better. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we've got a lot more show for you. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets that done by way of phone or text. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I watch the parade every Thanksgiving. Can I tell you that? While I'm getting my pomegranate mimosas ready to roll,
sure.
I might have one or two.
Yeah.
I try to limit
it. That's the drink that the pilgrims and the Native Americans shared together, the
yes,
pomegranate
they did.
Mimosa.
And then I watch the parade, and then I watch the dog show.
Oh, that's a full day.
Yep. Mark Sapelsa travels to a small town to confront a big bully. Why one Illinois family says this bully went too far. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Is Sapelsa going to fight it out with the bully?
No, that would be bullying.
That would also be bullying. Can I just quickly thank everybody over at Horse Thief Hollow in Beverly? You and I did a full radio broadcast. We're on WGN, I understand.
You can listen to it at WGNradio.com.
Yeah, there's a podcast there. But everybody there was extremely nice, and a lot of people came over and said some very nice things, and thank you. That was very nice. Everything that happened was pleasant.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
I really like getting out of the studio. I'm telling you, the Allstate Showcase studio is the best studio in the entire world.
Yeah.
On the planet.
Yeah.
In the universe. The galaxy. And right. Beyond.
Now you're pushing it.
But I do like getting out and meeting the listeners.
Yeah, everybody was very friendly and, like I said, had nice things to say.
Except the one guy.
One guy didn't.
Can I just tell you, and that's fine. Somebody was saying, you know, I listen to you all the time, big fan, but I had to stop listening to you for a certain amount of time, about 3 or 4 weeks. I said, oh, because of the election stuff.
Yeah, that's what you'd think.
No, you guys try too hard. I said,
well, if there's one thing that you could never accuse either of us of, it's trying too hard.
Bingo.
Most days we don't try at all.
And here's a little something that I got to give out there as a tip. If you're going to say something negative about someone, save it for like your closer. Don't
right.
like say, hey, big fan of yours,
right.
and then say a mean thing and then expect us to continue talking to you. You know, save that for your last comment.
Well, you and I handle it differently. I saw once that was said to you, you were done with that guy. But I kept talking because I wanted to solve the problem. And I explained to him, I said, you know, I on a good day, I'm giving 30, maybe 35%. So if I was trying too hard, it might have been somewhere in the 40s. But
I've never tried too hard.
I don't think so. No.
And I didn't really understand it because I'm like you. I will not leave until if someone doesn't like me, I cannot stop bugging them until they like me. Which
yeah, you
sometimes
fix
doesn't.
It.
Yeah.
You're like Bactine. You're human Bactine.
Never thought of it that way.
Different
but
aroma. Slightly different aroma.
Okay, good.
You don't
slightly
smell as much
less
like
medicinal.
Yeah. That's
all right.
Right
I'll
that's
take
correct.
That. But I do like to solve the problem. And I talked to him. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
He liked us. He said other very nice things, but he did say there was a 3-week period where we, again, were trying too hard.
I don't even know what that means.
Do you have the dates? Because I'll look that up and see what could have caused that.
Yeah, just trying too hard. Trying too hard what?
To entertain and enlighten.
That comes naturally,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, that just rolls off us.
But, yeah, I would say if you're going to slam someone, wait till that.
The last
that,
one.
Yeah,
as
that'd
you're
be
leaving.
Your closing statement.
All right, well, thanks. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
By the way, you suck.
Right, leave on that. Leave us, yeah, so we can go, well, what, huh?
Yeah.
And he's gone already, right.
But you can't do it in the middle of the conversation.
Right.
Just trying to give
save
a helpful
the
hint
slam
out there.
For last.
That's what
right.
you do.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then some news, and then Jimmy Pardo joins us.
How does this happen?
A friend of the show. It's a Thanksgiving miracle.
Is he having you back on another podcast?
Could be. Maybe.
Poor guy can't find guests,
I don't understand it. All right, we'll take
you're
a look at that.
You're trying too hard.
You're trying too hard. You're the puppet.
You're
the puppet, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, this is going to be fun. I'm warning you right now, if you don't like fun, stop listening, because you're going to like this and you're going to have fun. Jimmy Pardo is one of the nation's top comedians, a friend of mine since high school, a friend of yours.
I forget about that.
We went to high school together. Jimmy, you can verify this, right?
Yes, sir. Confirm.
Oak Forest High School together.
Bengals.
We were on the Bengals.
I just laugh at the mascots. We were the Bulldogs, Riverside Brookfield High School.
It's a tough mascot, a bulldog.
Sure, it's tough. It's a Bengal. A Bengal, is that the
angry tiger.
It's angrier than the regular tiger.
What is an Argonaut? Wasn't that Argo High School?
That's Argo High School.
Jason and the Argonauts. They're like astronauts.
They're not menacing.
They deal more with corn products than with space.
Yeah, agriculture.
Yep.
It's agriculturally
based. Agricultural astronauts.
Right. Remember their mascot was the giant husk of corn?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That guy would get out there very afraid. Yeah. Any team coming in would be challenged by that that husk. Husky, the corn cob.
Husky the corn cob was their mascot. Right.
His sidekick was
a little tray of butter. Remember? Yeah. Buttery the Butter.
I do remember.
Buttery the Butter.
Nobody. Bill will agree with this. Not a clever name.
No. Like,
they just went. Well, neither was Husky, though, for that matter.
Why wouldn't it be
Pat? I'd call him Pat.
Pat the Butter.
Yeah.
Is it Pat or Pad?
It's a pad of. I don't know now.
Pat.
It's a pat.
It's pad.
Pad of butter.
I think it's a pat.
With the D? No, you say with a T.
We'll find out.
I can't
you guys
wait.
Continue talking right. amongst yourselves.
Keep introducing me. I was liking
but
how
we
great
did,
I was.
We attended. Oh, well, you like the adulation.
I like that part of it. Sure.
In high school, Jimmy, we said to ourselves, you know who's going places is that Jimmy Pardo, but we were kidding. We didn't think you would amount to anything.
Oh, boy.
And now you fooled us.
I did
Look at all you've done.
Well, listen, two guys, maybe four of us. Four guys, I think, came out of Oak Forest in the arts.
In the arts.
There's certainly some baseball players that made it to the major leagues. Which you got, by the way, you got to be a great baseball player to make it to the majors from a Southside suburban high school that where you don't play baseball all year long.
That's
you know what
true.
I mean? Like, you got to be that great to get past all that.
That's Who did true. That?
Jason Frazier, I want to say was his name.
Jason Frazier
ended
did.
Up pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays. I think like three guys made it from Oak Forest.
Babe Ruth
Seriously?
Into the bigs. Yeah,
and Hank Aaron.
Yeah, the Babe, and then Hammer and Hank.
Hammer and Hank, Babe Ruth, and Jason.
Now, you don't know this. Bill's father and mother used to always go to the games, and they were the ones, look at this guy's hammering the ball, and they were the ones that came up with Hammer and Hank.
True.
The Left family.
True.
The parents, not Bill.
No, I know.
Not me.
They had the creativity.
Yeah, Bill's too young.
They were great with adjectives.
They loved it.
My parents were the best adjective parents, I think, in Oak Forest.
Well, when we, Wendy, I don't know how your city was, but Oak Forest was the type that we would have monthly meetings.
Yep.
And one meeting, the Lefts couldn't make it, and I said, we're going to vote today, right? The best adjective family are the Lefts? And there was some, but some said it was the Joneses.
No, they were all right. They were good.
Average at best.
Yeah, they were all right.
Most people keep up with the Joneses. Your parents bypassed the Joneses.
That's exactly right.
I like to think they did. My dad still has. He keeps the certificate in a
Does
case
he?
In our dining room.
That is
and
wonderful
we,
to hear.
We take a look at it. And,
will you put that on your Facebook page?
If you
That's
want it,
private
I'll put it on there. No, I can put it on there. I'm not afraid of that.
It's pat of butter, by the way. P-A-T.
Pat of butter.
Wait, you're still saying, you're still using a D.
It's a pat.
Pag.
It is essentially.
Now that's a G.
Pam of butter.
That's an M now.
A half tablespoon size rectangle.
You're pretty good with the letters, by the way, Jimmy.
Thank you very much. Seriously. I know all 25.
You refuse to acknowledge the letter Z.
To this day.
What's with
it's
that?
It's like Pluto to me. It's like it's the letter. We don't need it.
No,
we're fine.
It's
How many Z words you really use? Think about it.
Zoo.
One.
That's the only one.
Zeppelin, if you want to bang your head, you want to rock a little bit.
You do.
Zoom if you're in a hurry.
Right, or if you want to do that.
Zebra.
Thing,
zebra if you see one, if you're at the zoo.
Zealous.
Right.
Right, you're overzealous. You went to the zoo. These are all zoo related. You can't leave that zoo.
ZZ Top, if they're in town.
Oh,
right.
See,
so those guys are animals.
Right, there's
on
a couple.
Stage.
There's a couple.
Zamboni.
Zamboni for sure.
For sure. Can I say this to you before you go any further? Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Jimmy. That means a lot to me.
Did you bring a treat? Because that's what in high school you would do, right?
You bring some
grade school
for everybody, right? You bring a nice. I did not bring. It's not my birthday.
No, but that
but
was
I did
the
bring
rule.
You a gift.
Whoever's birthday it was, they had to bring candy for the class.
Which is stupid. You should be treated by the others on your birthday.
Well, then you're treated by others when it's their birthday. That way you always remember who needs to bring the goodies.
But the kids whose summer birthdays, if your birthday was in June or July, they're making out like bandits.
Well,
that's unfair.
I blame that on the parents. I also blame it on the rain. what I did, Bill, is I got you a gift certificate. You're going to receive this in the mail.
What'll
I got
it be?
You. You're going to love this. It's a 1950s table tennis game.
That's really funny.
That's
What's
crazy.
Up?
Oh, you're hysterical,
Wendy
Jimmy
got,
Pardo.
What's going on?
You Wendy, should do a podcast. Oh, what, you're ha-ha.
What's
Wendy
up?
Wendy got me the identical gift of the one you just described, Jimmy. Word for word. The same 1950s table tennis box set. You look shocked.
Shut
this
up.
This is radio, so people can't see
Pardo
you.
Pardo me.
Rub your face on the microphone
you,
so people can see your face.
I'm not comfortable putting my face
no,
that
close. No, it's filthy.
You said on your Facebook page just the other day that you're in the hunt for a specifically Parker Brothers.
Yeah.
Table tennis, not ping pong.
I didn't see one.
That's Sears.
Right.
Right. You
How
said
about him?
You said I'm looking
he
for
was
this
listening
thing.
Earlier.
I
Come
can't
on,
listen
he's
to
never
this
not
show.
Funny.
I've got a satellite
Mike
in the
and
rental
Mike
car.
Are on.
Yeah, I'm listening to Keith Olbermann.
Right.
His, it's show. Not a podcast, but I guess I don't know this web series.
You can say show.
Great.
Yeah.
I like it. Anyway, I
well, good. He has two.
Thank you for
well, that's
the kind words.
You're saying.
I don't like either of you in the fact that I don't believe a word either of you say. Bill, I've known
That's
you
so
many years, over 20 years,
right.
And I still don't know when you're kidding and when you're not. And Jimmy, you're worse.
Well, certainly you know I'm kidding about this.
Yes,
I mean, yes,
I
of course I'm kidding. I didn't,
I know, but you're
I didn't get
a
gift certificate. I brought it with me. Bring it in, guys.
Bring it in.
What
Bring
if I really
in,
What if I had the time to go out and buy one between you announcing
that,
it?
That would have been great.
That would have been.
By the way, what I loved about that is, Bill, you managed to do something I cannot do. I am horrible. You could get me, like if I said to you, I want a like a private concert with Peter Cetera for my birthday. Like,
yeah.
Let's say that's what I want. If you got that for me, I still would act like it's the worst gift in the world. I don't know how to receive gifts.
I'm terrible at it,
too. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Like, didn't you want this? Of course I did. Well, then act like it. I'm not good.
He did a very good job faking excitement.
He was wonderful, and it played well in the car.
Oh, I love excitement.
Awesome.
I love excitement. When we come back, you know, we just had the Chicago Podcast Festival.
Sure.
Right? Jonathan Pitts puts this great thing together, this great festival. And the question always comes up, is anyone really doing it the right way and making money at it? And you're one of those guys who's doing it the right way and making some decent money at it.
We're doing okay. And actually, we were invited to be part of the Chicago Podcast Festival. In fact, the email was very nice. Couldn't have the, it was the first one, I believe.
Yeah.
Couldn't have this without the pioneer Jimmy Pardo. Please grace us with your play. Very,
wow.
Very polite email.
That's nice.
But we had already been scheduled to do Zanies.
Right.
And so we couldn't bail on Zanies. To do the podcast festival. We wish them a lot of luck, as we do all upstarts.
But you... upstarts? You and Mark Maron and Adam Carolla and Louis...
You're doing that well?
Louis Nye are the only four comedians
Louis
that
Nye.
Think you're doing well.
Well, Louis has eclipsed us all. Louis Nye has
He's
eclipsed
doing great.
Us all. And it's an embarrassment. We're just in his shadow. But no, are we doing well? I'm not doing Carolla Maron well, but we're doing well.
That's awesome. Plus, you have a great time doing it. And you do a great job.
You do a really
thank
good job.
Thank you, Wendy. Wendy, I say thank you.
The people who come to see you, because you were kind enough to have me on one of your shows a
we
month
had two
ago.
Shows, yeah.
Two shows, and I was asked to do one.
You were wonderful.
But they hang on to your every nuance because they know you. They've heard you over and over and over again on the podcast. So it's not like when you're doing stand-up where you're, to some extent, you're starting fresh.
Yeah.
They already know your backstory.
Especially, yeah. And you know, the show you were on sold out within hours.
Oh, nice.
And then the second one came close to selling out, and we added a second one. And so to speak to that, those are 300 people that wanted to be in the room to hear our stupid nonsense. So that's just amazing to be able to walk out to that. I wish I was Amy Schumer doing the Allstate Center on Friday. Could you imagine walking out and doing
no.
that show
no.
that big?
No.
Why don't you imagine that? Because comedy shouldn't be in a venue that big.
It should be more intimate.
Yes.
It should be more intimate. But I'll tell you why I like it better than stand-up. It's so spontaneous. I mean, with stand-up, you're getting a cross-section of some spontaneity and some fixed bits that you've done in the past. But with this, you're forced to just be fresh and natural and in the moment, every moment that you're on there, and you pull it off beautifully.
Well, thank you. You did send me a text that I couldn't believe. I ended up deleting it, which infuriates me because it was the nicest text I ever received in my life. I mean, this is in my life. And my wife texted me once, I'm pregnant. This was better than that.
Wow.
Do you have a copy of it? Do you
I
know
wish,
how to
oh,
access?
Maybe you can resend it. Maybe you,
I could do, you want me to do that?
It was the, and I'm
Good
not
luck
kidding.
Finding it.
All right.
It was the greatest. Why are you
I
mad at him?
Find it.
He can't use his phone very well, so.
I'm challenged when it comes to electronics, but I can. I'll,
right. I heard the enthusiasm over the table tennis. I understand you can't handle a phone.
Jimmy Pardo's here. Dispensing all sorts of pleasantries, as you just heard. And you're here because you're at Zanies, right?
No.
You're not? You're just here for being
I'm
here
because I brought my son with me. We're going to see Hamilton tomorrow night.
I hope they don't yell at you.
No, I got
gonna,
I get booed.
Will they boo you
I
when
get
you
booed
walk
in every room
I
walk
be a
into.
Speech aimed at you at the end of the show.
I'm
ready for that.
I've already warned Oliver, yes.
All right. More of this sort of behavior next. It's Bill and Wendy along with Jimmy Pardo on WGN. Jimmy Pardo's here. Go see him in Hamilton. He's not in the production of Hamilton, but he's going to see Hamilton. And if you're there, you can see him watching Hamilton. Now, you said you've taken your son Oliver to see the show in the past.
No, he
went by himself.
No, I did not. My wife and I went for her birthday in February, and then when tickets went on sale here in Chicago, I said, I got to bring my son. So I bought tickets, and here we are.
I would like to go. I would like to take my son, in fact, who likes theater. But don't you think it's going to be extended and then more tickets will become available someday?
Don't you think, you guys? I mean, you're on the GN. Wally Phillips would have had tickets.
That's Wally Phillips.
That's true.
But you're Bill and Wendy.
We're not Mike Pence.
Who?
We're not Mike Pence.
Well, listen,
he got tickets.
He went as a diversion. Now, right. But let's, you know.
Right.
You know, it's easy to get there. Maybe
you're
you guys
so political. What happened to you? You're so political.
I'm
now.
Like Mort Saul. I really like just become.
You are like Mort Saul. That's true. Now, you got to talk to Lin-Manuel Miranda at the last time you went to the show. You were invited backstage and you had a chat with him.
I did. My wife and I went back there. I posted the photographs afterwards.
He's adorable.
He was very nice. Could not have been more gracious. Was excited. He's a huge comedy fan.
Is he?
So, yeah. Wow. So When it was asked, hey, Jimmy Pardo's going to be there. Yeah, absolutely. And he came out, the comic's comic. And he came gave me a big hug and could not have been nicer. And it was great. The show is, I'm a musical nerd. I really am.
You were in Bye Bye Birdie.
I was in Bye Bye Birdie. I played Randolph McAfee, the non-singing role. And I played Mr. Whitney in Anything Goes. That's a non-singing role. Any musical that has a non-singing role, I'm your guy.
That's your part.
I'm your guy.
Did you pitch him on Hamilton 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Of course I
did. I think that would be a great show.
The first words out of my mouth.
What did he say?
Punched me in the face.
He hit you.
I thought it was aggressive myself, Bill. Boy. I would have thought a conversation would happen. But these were happier times. These were in, you know, you can get away with something like that.
Right,
I guess
not anymore.
Not anymore.
Nope.
There are non-singing roles in musicals?
Every musical has a few.
Well, not rock operas, not Evita or Jesus Christ Superstar or Hamilton, Tommy.
But like South Pacific.
Sure, there's probably got to be something in that.
When I was in Little Abner, my character had a song, and after rehearsing the song, they came to me and said, it might be interesting if your character just said these lines instead of singing
that might
them.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. That was a slam, wasn't it?
I don't think it was.
I think
it's a compliment to your comedic ability to make that thing work.
All right.
That's how I would spin it.
I'll take it that way.
By the way, if that had happened to me, that's the story I lead with in every conversation I'm in. Because I love it. I love stories like that. When I was in high school, grade school, playing basketball, I was on the basketball team. That's right, Wendy. I'm not the tallest guy now.
No, you're not.
I was 3'7" then. So,
Muggsy Bogues. Let me just say Muggsy Bogues to you.
He had a talent. I didn't have that. So,
Globetrotter?
No, Muggsy Bogues played for...
Oh, yeah.
Who did he play for?
I don't know, but he was like an MVP or something. He was really
5'9".
Good. Well, I'm not 5'9".
No, you're not quite that.
So here's what happened. Yeah. One of our games, I was playing for Our Lady of Loreto out of hometown Illinois, and our regular coach had to miss a game, and so some other coach filled in at halftime. We're not winning. He says to the players, he goes, you guys got to pick it up. And you other guys like Pardo, Cusack, Pender, you're not ball players. You're only here because Mr. O'Connor had to fill out a roster.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Right? Who says that to a child?
Why?
But I have that guy's name is Jack Hallberg. He owns Hallberg Insurance. Good luck to you, Jack. I'll badmouth that guy all day long. What? Because what adult thinks that's okay to say to a child? If I saw him today, I would tell it to his face.
But that's
my point. I love stories like that. I think are hysterical.
But didn't that put something in your head of, well, now I'm going to succeed just to get to this guy?
No, he wasn't wrong.
Oh,
but you don't
not wrong,
say it.
But rude.
Although then he walked out and he said to my dad, was like, hey, you know what? I really appreciate the time you take with the kids. And he goes, I was just telling Jim here, all you got to do is keep practicing, you'll get better. I was like, that's not what you
said. Wait, that's nothing.
Did
like
you
what
bust him?
Said.
That's not. No, you're a kid. You're afraid.
You're right.
Know, now I'm not. I just told it on radio. Jack Hallberg, Sr.
From Hallberg Insurance.
That's right.
Sr. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, good guy. Haven't seen him since then. That's true.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you guys didn't stay in touch after that. That seems like the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
It really does. Oh, if anything, just to shoot hoops.
That's crazy. When you come back to Chicago, because now you live in the hills of Hollywood,
of course,
Jimmy,
I do, yeah.
Where all the famous live. When you come back to Chicago, what's the first thing they go, I'm in town, I got to see this or do this or eat this?
The first thing I got to do is come down here and see this Lincoln statue here and figure out who the guy is standing next to him.
Oh, my God, we all want to know.
Oh, you don't know either?
No.
No, they won't tell us.
Oh, is your everyman.
Wait a minute. Oh, is that what it is?
For people who don't know, in Pioneer Court, which is just south of us here on Michigan Avenue, There's an Abe Lincoln statue that's about two stories high.
It's very big.
And he's talking to a guy wearing a sweater and some chinos, and they both look like they're lost.
Yeah.
And there's no explanation of the statue anywhere.
Okay, so you guys know more.
Uh-uh.
You have no more information than I do, and I've only been here 7 minutes.
Right. But Lincoln, you know, was, they called him the guy who could find things.
He was,
you know,
the map leader.
The map leader, they called him.
Lincoln Quest.
Lincoln Quest.
Right.
Have we all heard of this? So you could go up to Abe Lincoln, and I think this is why he was president, and say to him, how do I get to Elk Grove Village from here? And Lincoln would map it out for you and show you how to get there.
He'd take his hat off and point with his hat as he's doing that.
He had very maps in his hat. His hat was a tall hat.
That's why he kept it so
maps.
He'd roll them up there.
Yeah.
Well, that's making more sense now.
Yeah.
That makes more and more sense the more you say it.
You saw the movie. Those were the best scenes in the movie, is when people would come up to him and they would just throw out the name of a town and Lincoln would tell him the best route.
I like any documentary about the man. I think he's terrific. And those were my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
The Spielberg film.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's right.
He was great.
I never saw that. I really should watch it.
Oh, it's good.
I
love it's based on Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
I was born on Abe's birthday, so I really should see it.
Is that Feb 16?
12th. I always had my day off of school.
Oh.
My birthday. And then they combined Washington and Lincoln, so that kind of went by the wayside.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Jimmy, sadly, we're out of time.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you guys.
But the door is always open to you.
Thank you for having me in. I'm in town just visiting.
And
I always call you guys to promote and do all that, and I appreciate you having me. But I wanted to see you guys in
person. Look at that. Just coming to say hello, and you can always find him on his podcast, jimmypardo.com. Never Not Funny.
It's always a great time. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jimmy's tearing up.
Who's that old coach of yours again?
Jack Hallberg. Jack Hallberg Insurance.
Jack Hallberg joins us after the news.
Right.
We'll get his side of the story. More after this is Phil and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Veronica. Hi, everybody. It's Phil and Wendy. WGN, want to call us, want to text us, you can. We're at 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. Feel free. We're here for you.
We are, and it's your birthday, and we've done nothing for you.
That's,
I got to tell you, we don't have strippers.
Do I need strippers? I don't need strippers.
I don't know. You answer that question.
Now I'm older. I need weather strippers is what I need. Come on in and
plus
do some
the
weather
winter's
stripping.
Coming.
I don't even know what weather stripping is.
Yes, you do. It's
I've heard
cock
of it.
Things and
I don't know what any of that is.
You know, on a birthday cock?
It's what? No. I'm getting older, but I'm not that old, Wendy. Yeah. I'm not the kind. You know, like, for me, the worst thing in the world is if you go to a restaurant and somebody tips off the waitstaff that it's your birthday and they come and they sing some convoluted version of happy birthday to you. That's the worst moment of my life.
Happy birthday to you.
When that happens, and it's happened a couple of times, I'd rather be anywhere on the planet than there. Because, you know, they don't want to do it.
They want to do it. Plus, you get a free dessert. It's not worth listening to them sing for a free dessert.
I would rather pay for the Cherry's Jubilee than have a bunch of people come out who don't know it. They just, you know, it's not.
I know, and in the middle of it, they're
ridiculous.
Like,
What's his name?
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I'd like you to sing to me every day.
Right.
And I'd like a free dessert.
All right. I'll see if I can make that happen.
All right. You know, Black Friday is coming.
Yes.
And I have a list of things you're not supposed to buy on Black Friday.
All right.
Because everybody says that is the day you're supposed to go shopping.
Yeah. But it's, obviously, it's the most crowded shopping day of the year. I'd prefer not to go.
I don't do anything on Black Friday except sleep late and wake up and have a turkey sandwich, because to me, a turkey sandwich is better than the whole turkey plates that is being served up on Thursday.
Sure.
On Friday, there's nothing like that cold turkey sandwich on really soft white bread with mayo.
Yeah, that's a good
salt
time.
And pepper.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, salt and pepper, you're dressing it up.
I know. No, actually, the singers, I invite them over.
Salt and pepper?
Yeah.
They come by?
Yes, they do. That's I love them.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. All right, these are things you shouldn't buy on Black Friday. Furniture. But now I'm seeing, right now, all the Black Friday ads for the various furniture companies. Why? Well, if you're hoping Black Friday will score you a discount on that dining room set or sectional, forget it. The furniture sales cycle resets in July and August when stores are getting in their next season's offerings, and then they're pushing out last year's stuff at a discount. So if you've waited until November, you've basically waited your way out of a deal.
That's you know, every year, you know this, my family and I get up at 4 a.m. and we go to Nelson Brothers. every year. That's a tradition in our family. We're not going to do it this year.
Were they Hudson 32700 or was that Bushell?
That's Bushell.
I get them all confused.
Hudson loves me. Hudson Bros loves me. Hudson Brothers love me.
And they love you too.
And they love you too. They just give their love to anybody.
They're easy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
The same goes for patio furniture. See, you would think now would be a good time to buy that because who's going to use it? Home and garden stores start clearing space in September and October to make way for holiday and Black Friday offerings. So especially appliances, which are dirt cheap right now, by November. You aren't getting that grill, table, or umbrella any more cheaply than you'd get it in April.
Well, that's disappointing.
That is.
Everything should be on sale on Black Friday.
All right. This you know to be true because you were trying to plan a vacation. They say airfare and vacation packages do not waste your time on Black Friday.
I know that for a fact.
Because this is the start of their high-end season.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to get away from their family for the holidays.
You're reminded by seeing your family. I got to get far away fast.
You can still find some great deals on hotel rooms, but just about every other travel expense started climbing in September and hasn't stopped.
I understand that.
You're even reaching the point where those early travel dark weeks in January aren't the greatest deals they were back in October.
Well, here's what, because we were pricing stuff toward the end of the year, and almost everything we were pricing, if you could wait till the first or second week in January, it was a third of the price of what you'd pay in late December. Because everybody has that time off, you know, right before Christmas or between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, but your kids go back to school. So if you're bringing your kids, well, how do you do that?
Except with our daughters, they're both in college now. The colleges start up mid-January.
So you still have that
buffer?
They
still have a couple of weeks off. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Gift cards. Do not pay full price for a gift card. Did you know this?
Aren't gift cards always the face value of the card?
That's what I thought. Black Friday has a few gift card deals, but there's no impetus for retailers to sell you some at a discount during a time when they're already slashing prices.
Wait, you can get a gift card.
I didn't know this. Kevin, do you know about this? You can get like a Groupon for a gift card, or how does
that
work?
Yeah, I think stuff like that. I mean, I'll see them sometimes on like Craigslist, but that always like weirds me out.
I am not.
Less
I don't
than
trust
face
that.
Value?
Listen, I am not going to somebody's house to pick up a gift card. I went there once to Skokie to pick up a drum set that I bought for $350.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to drive to Skokie to pick up a gift card to save $5.
Right.
Plus, they're going to kill me.
Right. Well, you went over to Ed Gein's house or Ed Gein's house.
Shut up,
that's
Bill.
That was a bad move.
I bought a lamp from him.
It feels so soft, like human skin. What could it be?
human skin.
It could be human skin. All right. Here, can I pass along a money savings tip?
Yeah.
All right. A lot of places, some of them let us entertain you, but not exclusively let us entertain you.
Oh,
have a thing where if you buy $100 worth of gift cards, they throw in another $20 or $25
right.
gift card. You can't use it right away. You got to wait a couple of weeks on it. But still, if it's a restaurant that you know you're going to frequent.
You buy someone a gift and then you get a bonus gift
yeah.
for yourself. That's how I like to buy things for myself.
That's a great idea.
Buy
isn't
one
it?
For you, one for
Everybody
me.
Everybody gets something.
That's how I Christmas shop.
Yeah, that's fair.
Gift cards. You could get the exact same deal by purchasing cards now, or you could just indulge in the very practice gift cards were meant to encourage procrastination. Let the gift buying world spin madly on without you. This is from Deal News, by the way. They note that retailers chop the price of gift cards dramatically in December with the knowledge that there's very little time left to shop with them.
I didn't know that.
Also, if you aren't going to take advantage of Apple's penchant for dramatically dropping the price of iTunes gift cards later in the holiday season, someone else will.
Does your, I don't know what pharmacies or drugstores are near you, but by me, well, you have a CVS by you,
mm-hmm.
right? Is there an aisle in your CVS that has a tree with gift cards to every store you've ever heard of in the world?
Well, it's an end cap, but maybe you have a tree.
Ours is a tree. We're a very green CVS by me.
Yes. Walgreens has it, too.
Like
the
Walgreens
Jewel has it, too. Anywhere. You could go Bed Bath & Beyond or, you know, the Great Crepe.
Yeah, they've got places like... All right, now, is that a real place? Because I was looking at a card the other day.
God, if somebody doesn't open the Great Crepe right now, you're really missing the boat.
I'm looking at this tree of gift cards, and there's like every place I've ever heard
Bass
of. Bass
Pro
one.
Fishing.
But you've heard of that. Like, I'm going... All right, Noodle Caboodle. Oh, that'd be nice. I'll get my friend a Noodle Caboodle card. I don't know what they sell. I'm guessing either noodles or caboodles, maybe both. But I'm looking at it going, I wouldn't even know like what to do. Where would I go for this?
That's why those are the ones always left, because nobody right. knows where they are. Right. They have iTunes. They do have everything. I've not seen, like, I've heard of everything in the gift card department.
There were easily a half a dozen or so that I'm like, all right, I think that place went out of business years ago, I think.
Well, that would be a bad one to buy. Right. That's why I
Magic
say
Pan.
Just... They're still in, there is
oh,
one,
is there still
I think
Magic
so.
Pan?
That's right. what I confused with the Great Crepe, by the way. that's why I think if you're going to get a gift card, just get a Visa gift card, because then they can use
everything.
It for anything.
Because right.
say you buy something for the Magic Pan,
yeah.
but they don't want a dinner, they want a new pair of jeans.
Right.
You get the Visa gift card, you can eat it or
that's
wear it.
That's a smart move. Yeah.
I have more of these if we can discuss.
Yeah, let's do more. All right, we'll come back with more of these. Want to jump in? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, sponsored by Noodle Caboodle on WGN.
we were talking about things that really aren't going to benefit you to buy on a Black Friday.
Yeah.
And gift cards were one of those things. And Merle wants to jump in. Is this Merle?
It is. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? All right, so gift cards,
yeah,
I had mentioned, you know, maybe if you don't get a specified one, you get like a Visa gift card, but there's a downside?
The only downside is that there's a fee. The regular cards, like if you get a gas one or something like that, there's no fee. So you get a $25 card for $25. If you get a Visa card, there's anywhere from a $6 or $7 to a $10 or $12 charge to get that card.
Wait, they couldn't charge
like
you $12.
It's like $2.50, I think.
That's
what I always get Kevin, and I
oh,
always
yeah?
get him a Visa gift card because I don't for Christmas and birthdays because I don't know what to get him.
Yeah,
and I think it's like $2.50.
Then they changed it because the last one I got it was like $9.95 additional to get a
wow.
Visa.
Wow,
that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's way too much.
I don't even like paying the $2.50.
Right,
but I
right.
do.
Merle, maybe Noodle Caboodle is more up your alley.
The Grape Crepe.
Sounds
the
like
Grape
a good
Crepe.
Option.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Merle. Don't get any on Black Friday because you're not going to save any money.
Sounds like a plan.
Do you go shopping on Black Friday?
Holiday. We do go out. So this year we're not, but my kids and I have, we've been those crazy people that have waited in line at Best Buy at 2 in the morning and done insane things like that. It's fun. If you look at it as fun, then go. If you don't, then please stay home.
What did you get? I'm just curious what you waited in line for since 2 in the morning. Was it a big screen TV at a great price, a computer? Do you not remember? What?
No, we bought TVs. We were in line at the outlet mall at Coach one time, and my kids got wallets and purses, and so that was really fun.
And it was really at reduced, really
reduced.
You saved
a lot of money?
Yeah, we did.
You did? All right. Then I guess it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, happy holidays to you.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
Thanks so much. Gaming and high-powered laptops are not at this time of year either.
They say don't do it. I'm
yeah.
surprised to hear that. I would have thought just the opposite.
But now this is just Black Friday.
Yeah.
So they're not saying don't buy these for Christmas, but there will still be some deals. But retailers generally consider laptops of any stripe a back-to-school item.
Oh, all right.
That's not true, though. I'm already seeing reductions. And I have two kids who really need new computers. They're like... really old.
Yeah.
Like you go, hey, you know, do your homework on your laptop. And it's like, it's updating. I'm like, well, this has been going for 20 minutes. I know it's on 30 of 127 items that it's updating.
Oh.
So I think it's time you get a new laptop.
Yeah. All right.
So back to school in September, supposedly the best time. And I'll bet you I find that stupid Nintendo Classic NES that comes out, not on Black Friday, but they have to be making some more before Christmas. And if you go on Amazon, and I'm mad at you, Amazon, or Walmart,
mm-hmm.
you can go get it now. It's for sale, but they have upped the price. And then there's this little warning that says only available through third-person retailers.
So it's not actually Walmart.
Yeah,
they're
so
using
don't...
Walmart's space to advertise.
And
this has been going on for months. You know that,
I
right?
know. But yeah. when it first came out, which was a week or two ago,
yeah.
it sells for $59.99. And
yeah.
now to see Amazon and Walmart, oh, you can we have them in stock, but it's like $240. That's
ridiculous.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's way too much. You'll find it at the right
fair.
Price.
Old TVs.
Old TVs?
It says...
No.
LED TVs. Maybe once we get a discount on one technology that people are taking their time adopting, we can go plunging into another. Deal News, who has sponsored this, hasn't seen a discount on an OLED set in nearly a month.
All right. So that's like a brand up from HD, right? Isn't that what that is?
I don't know what OLED is.
Yeah, I think that's like the next step.
There's LED. I didn't know there was OLED.
Yeah, I don't know all the specifics of it, but I'd be shocked because TVs seem to be the one thing that everybody's most excited about getting at discount prices on Black Friday. So.
Yeah, but again, please beware, and if you do go out like our last caller, Merle, and you get there at 2 in the morning and you wait, know that they might have one. That's what really irks me.
All right, so to advertise a certain item at a certain price, you have to have a certain number, obviously, but is that number one? Could it possibly be that low?
I bet.
They do that with airline tickets, too. They'll show you a price for airline tickets, and I think the FAA made a rule a couple years ago that they had to have three sets of tickets or something like that. I don't remember the exact qualifications, but now they have that. They must have that with electronics as well, because a lot of times they'll advertise something, and if you're in line, you see them sold out by the time you get in the store.
I know. That's not fair. Is OLED the curved ones? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll find out. I think we have to take a break.
Oh, all right. A break, some news coming up in just a little bit, and then more show. If you want to jump in, same number as always. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks for the times that you've given me. The memories.
See, the thing is, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving songs, so we had to go with this one.
I'm not a lady at all.
Once?
Nope.
Twice?
Nope.
Three times?
Nope. No lady.
It's Bill and it's Wendy. And
I knew you picked this song.
How did you know?
Because I know you.
My love of Lionel Richie?
Yes.
Very talented man.
You know, I really enjoy reading the Red Eye publication. You know why?
It's good. It's great. Like yourself, it has Red Eye in the title.
Boy, it's your birthday. That gives you carte blanche
I know.
To slam me. No, because there's only 16 pages.
Yeah, you're in, you're out.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. They have the complete guide to Thanksgiving. And I will tell you some things of non-negotiable rules of guesting.
Oh, are there some? I didn't know there were.
There
any.
Are your typical things, you know.
Like what?
Like to brine your turkey.
Yeah.
I'm going to dry brine it thanks to Chef Hans.
That's a rule. You must, don't just serve it up dry. Have it marinate in something.
Yeah, but this is a dry brine. So, because honestly, I don't have a container big enough to put a turkey in salt water or
there's
cider.
There's a Christmas hint. I just heard a Christmas
hint
from
you. No, I don't want that. Deep frying turkey, a lot of people are doing that, as you've learned everywhere. It can't be frozen because it will explode.
Right. Will it explode?
Oh, my God. God, what was it on the Goldbergs this week? There was a David Koechner plays their neighbor.
Yeah.
And they were trying to compete, like, who makes a better turkey. And Beverly Goldberg put his turkey in the freezer so it would be cold, and when you put it in boiling hot water,
it explodes.
Well, this turkey went sailing across the roof. This was a little exaggerated, but yeah, because you have this hot oil and you're putting something ice cold, you're supposed to let it get to room temperature. I have had some of the deep fried turkey. It is quite delicious, but I have never made the commitment to ever do that myself.
No,
and I don't want any family member. Yes,
it does.
Absolutely. You can also add things to the stuffing to make it better. Always use chicken stock or chicken broth when you're basting your turkey. Keep it at the bottom of the pan, and then you can use the drippings for gravy.
Yeah.
And then resist the urge to cut into a turkey right away. Let it rest for 45 minutes to an hour before carving, as we learned from Chef Hans as well, because it continues to cook.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
But these are like some non-negotiable things, and I am hosting, and I'll flat out tell you, I like to host because then I can control the entire menu.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have certain things that have become tradition that people expect. I don't like pretty much all of the side dishes, like green bean casserole. I could go the rest of my life without ever having
it.
Yeah. Jim loves it. I make a smaller one each year.
Yeah.
But I make it. It has to be there. My father-in-law has to have canned corn. Which
that's
just
the, that's the funniest one.
You can have corn any time of the year.
Corn's the most plentiful food there is, but that's his thing.
Candied sweet potatoes, where you put the marshmallows on them. I have like one tiny bite, but there are people that have to have that.
It's amazing.
I know. But see, it, to me, what I love about Thanksgiving is it really is the traditions of growing up. I know your traditions come and they go, but right. Thanksgiving, you try and hold on to your dead loved ones. And Aunt always made, you know, the Auntie Mary's Jell-O. That's coming. It's just that's what you do. You keep people alive through food.
I guess.
Which no wonder.
Sounds ghoulish everybody almost, doesn't it?
Eats too much.
I know.
But these are the non-negotiable things, okay? Number one, ask what you can bring.
Seems like an easy rule to follow.
And I get kind of frustrated when I have invited people over. Many times, if somebody asks, I'll say, oh, I've got everything covered. But if you don't ask, it bugs me.
Really?
Yeah, because maybe, you know, pick up two bags of ice on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just... You know, I don't want to make people spend a lot of money. I try to make sure everything's covered.
Right.
But sometimes the day of, oh, could you pick up a 12-pack of beer? I don't really have enough.
So whoever's house it's at,
you should
they're the
ask,
ringmaster, and
can
they
I bring
decide,
anything?
They coordinate it. They say, you bring this, you bring this, you bring this.
Right. Right. So you say, what can I bring? And then number two, another non-negotiable rule of guesting, don't bring anything that you weren't asked to bring.
Oh, that surprises
and
me.
And don't ditch out on something you agreed to make.
That one I get, but why aren't you allowed to bring a little extra something? If you made brownies, you can't bring brownies?
Well, brownies are really good for anything.
Yeah.
I would never be upset about an extra thing of brownies.
Right. What about some wild rice with brownies in it? A little bit of brownie in the wild rice, just a little bit.
No.
Nope. So you have to, if you're told bring this, you only bring this, nothing beside this.
I wouldn't deviate from the plan because right. really whoever's hosting is a bit of a control freak, it seems. And but that's yeah. really why they're hosting.
Yeah, I guess.
I want to, you know, if you go to someone else's house and they don't have what you're used to having,
yeah.
that to you is a failure.
Yeah, I understand
Thanksgiving
that.
Fail 101.
The holiday's over.
I know.
There'll be no more festivities.
Really, I was telling you and Jimmy Pardo off the air that every year involves so much like stirring and stuffing and basting and twisting and washing all
this.
The dishes. Well, I do at the time, but then it's like I have this back thing that always goes out on me every Thanksgiving. So while everybody else is playing animal bingo, I lay with an ice bag on my back for a while. So then I started thinking about it. That's not fun for me.
No.
I take the Advil, I put the ice bag on, so now I'm going to try and spread it out where I make some things on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So then really all I'm going to do is put the turkey in.
Would you ever consider doing it the way we do it? Would you ever
going
just,
out?
Would you ever try a restaurant on Thanksgiving?
No,
or is
because
that just...
we have 12 people. Who's going to pay for all that? If I invite everybody to go out for dinner, then do I have to pay for all 12 people?
No, you split it evenly. You could split it. That's what...
But you're just going the four of you, right?
Now it's just the four of us. There was a time where there were other relatives involved.
They joined you at a restaurant?
Yeah, and we would just split it. But now it's the four of us, so we make respect.
She saves her money more than the rest of
it
you.
It takes her all year to save up for it, so she enjoys it more than the rest of us.
All right, again, non-negotiable rules of guesting, according to Red Eye. If the host insists there's nothing you can bring, that's code for pick up a bottle of wine. I like flowers,
that.
Too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But everybody says, no, we got everything covered. Just show up. Just bring it. But that's what you're supposed to say.
A bottle of wine would never hurt because if you don't drink it that night, you can just put it on
hold for another night. Yeah, that's
but
easy.
Flowers, that would bug me too because I've all...
Flowers would bug you? If somebody brought flowers, you'd be upset?
I have already figured out my centerpiece.
Yeah.
And if I get flowers, that would be nice, but then I got to find a vase and stop what I'm doing. And
oh, no.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I don't think a woman has ever said no to flowers, ever.
As I told you before, I am no lady.
You're no lady.
Number four, when you arrive, ask how you can be useful. And for the love of stuffing, stay out of the kitchen unless you're asked to help with something. God, is that a pet peeve. Everybody congregates in, I have like a horseshoe-shaped kitchen.
Right.
Everybody congregates right there. And I mean, that's where the gravy's being made by my mother-in-law. She's over the hot stove making her southern gravy.
Yep.
And I'm getting things ready and everybody stands right there.
Yeah, that you have to rope that off.
God, I hope nobody's listening that's coming, because all the pet peeves that are happening.
You're fine.
So yes, and also when you arrive, there are some people in the past that have just. I just ask me, is there anything I can do? Because then that's when I go, yeah, could you put the ice in the glasses?
That's a job. That seems like a fair job but for somebody.
If somebody doesn't ask, is there anything you need me to do? I feel funny going, hey, would you do that?
Really?
I always, when I'm at someone else's house, I always say, what do you need me to do?
Let me help.
I'm hoping they won't need me to do anything, but at least I ask.
Do you do, I've told you this before, this always bothered me when I was a kid. The Thanksgiving where all the women are in the kitchen and all the guys are watching football. Do you guys do that?
Yeah.
And that's okay?
It's just during the prep.
Yeah.
I don't care. Again, less people in my kitchen, that would be better.
Is the television on during dinner so that some members of the group can watch the football game if they choose to?
No, it's on in a different room.
And is anyone in the other room watching it?
No, they're sitting at the table with everyone.
All right. So there's no constant updates?
Who cares about football anymore?
Well,
are the Bears playing on Thanksgiving?
I honestly don't know or care if the Bears are playing on Thanksgiving.
Kevin,
it'd be ironic if they played on a holiday called Thanksgiving, considering that they're the Bears.
I don't think they are. I'll double check.
Yeah, we've all lost interest. Right. Isn't that terrible?
Right.
But usually, yes, the guys sit and watch football. And the girls sit and talk about, you know, clothes and stuff
boys.
Like that. No.
It always bothered me. Like when I was a kid, I'd go, this is like the only time of the year where there's this much separation, where all the women are in the kitchen and the
guys.
Well,
they're helping.
I know, but it doesn't seem right. Like there should be more mixing of the genders during that, right? Can't a guy help out with
the
food?
If they want to.
Can a woman sit and watch football?
Absolutely. But the majority of my guests, the women are in the kitchen, and I like to serve appetizers, which I've decided is really stupid.
Yeah.
Because you're going to eat.
You're going to be hungry. Right.
You got so much food coming. Like, really? Why do I even bother with the appetizers?
But that's separate. I'd walk in, and I'd look at that every time. And I was a kid, and I'd go, what is this, like 1967? And they'd go, yeah, it is. It's 1967. And I'd go, oh, okay.
Yeah, but then the TV gets turned off and everybody sits in the dining room amongst...
We didn't always turn, when I was a kid,
really?
Some members of the party wanted football, so the game was on.
Oh, no, I turn it off.
And there were seats that were, even though they were at the main table, were angled in a certain way so that they could see the TV in the other room.
See, you can't see the TV from our dining room. It's a whole...
That's a benefit.
Yeah.
That's not bad, then.
And then everybody sits together, and you have to put a couple of folding chairs to make your table big enough. But I'm sorry,
everybody's
I love
at different
this
heights.
Stuff.
You look around the table, especially as you get to the card table with three legs and stuff, and at that table, there's people sitting in rocking chairs and barca loungers. There's people on lawn chairs.
I don't have lawn chairs.
Everyone's at different heights.
I am no Martha Stewart, but I think you would be surprised at how...
No, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
That's why you go out.
I'll be in a restaurant.
We'll take a quick break. 312-981-7200. And again, we have some non-negotiable rules of guesting. We're here to help you. And Ted, hang on. 312-981-7200. It's getting to be that time of year where we're all going to sit around the table.
And fight.
Probably.
Probably. Spill and Wendy WGN.
Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. Pretty excited. It's my favorite holiday of the year. No presents involved. The whole family gets together. And we don't really fight.
No.
We really don't. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. That's fun.
It is fun if you enjoy it.
It is. I don't know why. I think it's because I know.
You don't like turkey.
I don't like turkey, and I don't like all the other things that are associated with the Thanksgiving meal. And it used to be I would bring like lasagna or I'd bring Chinese food, and I got made fun of, and then one by one, like cousins or nephews or uncles, they go, hey, next year, could you bring some of that Colonel Pao's chicken or King Pao chicken or whatever you call it? Yeah, I could bring you some of that. So like every year, the amount of food that I would bring got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, everybody wanted Chinese food.
Why didn't you eat beforehand and just come over and...
Because on Thanksgiving, for reasons that I will never understand, dinner is like at noon.
I do dinner at 1 o'clock.
But, like, why?
Earlier in my life, it was noon.
What's with that?
Well, like, Sunday dinners used to be early, too. You'd get together
That's
early in the day.
That's when people's life expectancy was only 40. They go, we got to eat. We're going to die soon. Let's eat and move on. But, like, why would anybody eat at 4 o'clock? That's for old people. Like, not even old people. Old people's parents eat at 4 o'clock.
Well, because it takes like 5 hours to eat. Seriously.
It doesn't, though. Time it. Please, believe me.
I know. I
One
did
year
last
we timed
year.
It. Ready? 43 minutes.
Yeah. It's definitely under an hour, and then you sit and talk, and then you can't eat pie right away because you're full.
Yeah.
So that's when the animal bingo comes out.
Yeah.
And then we have pie, and about 8 o'clock, I'm ready for everybody to leave.
Everybody out.
I got to put my back
brace
on.
Everybody out.
All right. Ted is cooking for Thanksgiving, and so you're hosting, correct?
Me? No.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
No. No, my whole thing was is that, and this goes back a ways, I had an aunt who was an excellent cook, and I never wanted to be in her way, but I always wanted to, I always kind of wanted to watch this, like, look at all this food and how she managed to get it all done. Of course, I never wanted to get in the way because I was afraid I might get mashed potatoes down my back. But, you know, I just, you know, it was kind of one of those things where it was just kind of, I was fascinated. It was like, how do you get this all done without setting the kitchen on fire? Because that's what I would do.
It's pretty difficult to get everything ready at the same time. That is the biggest challenge I found every year.
Sure.
You know, and the thing is, too, is that with people being in the kitchen, you know, they'd have to move the fridge out where you could access it to get to the beer and the wine and all the other stuff that you got going on. So you got to allow a little bit of movement going through there. I you know.
That's when you get a big silver bucket and you fill it with ice, put it on the counter with all the cold drinks in there.
Oh, that's true.
Always a solution. Ted, thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thanks.
And a great idea from Dusty. Hi, Dusty.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
This is the first Thanksgiving, and I can't even remember when I'm actually not hosting. I'm traveling.
You're okay with this? Does that bother you, or you're right?
You know, when you said whoever's hosting is a control freak, yeah, maybe.
A little
bit?
Okay,
because I have a whole suitcase packed full of things for the table. Okay, but last year, and I usually have 24 around there, and then a little kid table, but I didn't have any help, like, to serve anything, and you're only one person,
right?
And you said, you know, sometimes people say, can I help you? But most of the time, they just go and have a cocktail. So when everybody came in, I had them pick out of a bowl a little piece of paper that had a chore on it and, like, fill the glasses with ice, serve the soup, clear the table, or clear the soup bowls, clear the whatever. Anyway, there, I had to think a lot on what everybody could do without screwing everything up.
And did they do it if they picked their item and their chore?
Yeah, it kind of got to be a game because the rule was you can only trade with somebody once. And so, I mean, it kind of became a game, and it was interactive and fun. It was totally cool.
Dusty, they always gave me the simplest one. Like, the last few years, my job was to separate the Coke from the Sprite. That's
nice.
A pretty tough job, isn't it? Took me all night.
Have a great holiday and safe travels to you, Dusty.
Thank you. Bye.
She's traveling with Thanksgiving. They're going to stop her. Customs is going to stop her. What is it? This is a turkey baster, right? Okay, go on through. All right.
She wants to make sure, since she's not hosting, all the things she wants will be there.
Brilliant.
Hi, Norm.
Hello.
What's up, Norm?
You're totally wrong about the appetizers.
Why? How come?
You see, people get there, and I assume you don't want them to sit down at the table immediately and hand them food.
Right.
Right, because the turkey's not ready then.
Right. So they sit around, and they have nothing to do. Then they drink. Then Uncle Fred gets so blotto, he can't even sit at the table. You got to have appetizers, give them something to do while they're waiting for the bird to rest on the table.
I make appetizers every year. Just, you know, like cheese and pepperoni and Italian things like that.
Yeah.
And one other dip, because they do need something to have while they're waiting. But I feel it's kind of stupid because you're going to eat all this food in a matter of an hour.
Right, true. Right.
Well, it depends if you have nibblers or gorgers.
Are both sides of the family coming, Wendy, the nibblers and the gorgers?
Yes. house.
It's like West Side Story.
All right. Well, have a great Thanksgiving, Norm. Are you hosting or going somewhere?
We're going somewhere, but we're bringing about half the food.
Really? All right. Well, travel safely.
All right. You know that the traditional Thanksgiving dinner was not what the pilgrims had.
No, of course not. What did they have? Do you remember?
They had fish. Well,
I'm older than I look. they had fish. They had venison, squash. Yeah. They did not have turkey, and potatoes were not imported to North America yet.
Right.
And it was many, many years till they invented teeny-weeny marshmallows.
Right. But they did have Eli's cheesecake somehow. That's mysterious. I wonder how they pulled that off.
Norm, thank you very much. And Bill, somebody says, does Bill have the recipe for the wild rice and brownies?
Yeah.
I would love to bring it to my Thanksgiving.
I can do that for
all
you.
All right.
Nibblers to the left of me, gorgers to the right. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's coming up next in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN.